allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will please note that all members are present. Special orders of business, none. Approval of the minutes, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the minutes. There were very few, very minor, that I've already given to Ms. Seeker.
Any objections? Any additions, corrections, additional ones? None. Minutes are approved. Manager's request for agenda changes. Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, I have one request. In your red folder is a bid award for contract BE17-137. This would be the downtown streets improvements phase one. Bids were opened last Tuesday. The protest period has passed. And we bring this to you now to give that contractor a chance to order their materials before the holiday season, and in the event of a mild winter, they could get an earlier start on the construction. So I would ask that you add that BE17-137 award of $1,155,855 to Arete Construction.
Under new business?
On the consent agenda.
Is there any objection to adding that to the consent agenda?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Jones.
The only reason that I ask is it's on our agenda. It's way down on the bottom under supplemental materials. And we had it electronically, and there wasn't the normal process by which we add it to the consent agenda. So I'm assuming under supplemental materials we could make the motion singularly at the end of the meeting as opposed to putting it as part of the consent agenda.
I think that would be fine as well.
Item generally just falls under after the meeting's adjourned. It's kind of a place to put things on our electronic packet. Come in late, so I don't know.
Okay, does anybody have any problem putting it under new business?
No.
No.
That's fine.
All right. We will put it under new business. Excellent. Public participation on non-agenda items. We would like you to, if you could, summarize in a couple minutes. The clerk will set it for 2 minutes, and then you have another 30 seconds to summarize. We have one person on non-agenda items, and that is William Quayle. Mr. Quayle.
William Quayle, 415 Willoughby, number 305 in Juneau. This is about, it's not just me, it's when I was running for assembly, I did mention it quite a bit about changing the regulations for pedicab. I want to remind me, it's not just me, there's 293 votes that I got, and most of those people knew that $1,500 for charging for a pedicab is way too much. It's insane. If the way it is right now, you would spend from May to mid-September and the last 2 weeks of September to make any profit. The regulation was written by the buses and the taxis so they would keep us out of business because they charge so much and we only have 3 seats in there. So it's not counterproductive to charge and pay the $1,500. And we also have to pay for the insurance. And insurance, the way the regulation is set up right now, is you don't put, it's only for registered vehicles. A bicycle is not a registered vehicle. And you can't put auto insurance on a bike. Also, there's green energy involved here. You want to promote green energy. And the way it is right now, you would be getting the sales tax. I want to get it so it's new regulations, they're parity with Sitka's. Sitka's charges $400, and we would be paying like $25 for semi-annual. And if you're a senior, you shouldn't have to pay anything. But it's the idea is to get more pedicabs in Juneau. And there's a lot of times where I had people that were, they wanted a ride from me, and it's from, and they were very, they weren't quite ambulatory. And you'd be taking, you know, won't be taking riders from the taxis. Usually they want to go long distance. And the riders, they usually want to go just to one of the merchants if they want a place to go to. And the idea is where you'd be promoting green energy in Juneau. And Juneau would be, I get quite a bit of interest just riding my bike all around. They ask me how much it is. When you tell them it's $1,500, it's just a job. It's just a business killer. Okay, it wasn't designed for it. And you got it. It's best that you have a standalone regulation for it. So, two thumbs up. You want something all to vote for? I appreciate it.
Thank you. The other people I have signed up are for housing. Tabor, Davis, Whitney, and Hess. And we will call on you when we hit that part of the agenda. So we're down to the consent agenda. And we have public requests for consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction. Do we have any? Do we have assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Seeing none, assembly action. Mr. Nan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move for adoption of the consent agenda, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing no objection, it is adopted. Brings us to public hearings. And we will begin with Ordinance 2016-30. Madam Clerk?
An ordinance amending the comprehensive plan by adopting the Housing Action Plan.
Mr. Manager?
This ordinance would adopt the Housing Action Plan and amend the CBJ's comprehensive plan to include the Housing Action Plan. On October 26, 2015, the draft plan was presented to the Assembly Committee of the Whole. The Affordable Housing Commission and staff further refined the plan, and at its June 7, 2016 meeting, the Affordable Housing Commission voted to move the plan to the Planning Commission. On July 12, 2016, the Planning Commission, by unanimous vote, recommended that the Assembly adopt the plan as an addition to the City and Borough Comprehensive Plan. On October 31st, 2016, the Assembly Committee of the Whole made its final changes to the plan. The ordinance would adopt the version of the plan approved by the committee. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Public comment. Mr. Tabor, is that what you're here to comment on?
I'd rather wait until you get to the Franklin Street project.
Okay.
I can comment on both.
Ms. Davis?
Same.
Okay. Mr. Whitney.
I agree to both.
Okay. And Chris Hess?
I'll wait and do it as part of the Franklin.
Okay. Is there anybody else here that in the public that wish to testify? Yes. You want to sign the?
I signed over there at 7 o'clock straight up.
All right. Good for you.
Is that too late?
Nope, that's not at all.
Okay.
And if you'll state your name and address, and we'll give you 2 minutes, and then another 30 seconds to summarize if you need it.
Okay. My name is Joni Waller. I live at 315 3rd Street. Is that close enough to the mic?
Yep.
You hear me all right? Housing Action Plan is an impressive document. that offers suggestions and actions such as renovating old buildings and rejuvenating neighborhoods in this aging mining town of ours to accommodate growth, supporting property owners to upgrade for energy efficiency, creating a blighted ordinance, and to develop and prioritize areas for neighborhood plans are great ideas. On page 63, under implementation, it says to address parking. It says to come up with solutions to, quote, counter the challenge of limited parking and to make it easier for residents and visitors to move around downtown. If this document is to be used as marching orders to implement housing changes downtown, it does not say nor imply that we should be building dense housing without parking considerations. Parking needs to be better acknowledged along with housing in this document. People have cars. Until that is changed, new housing developments downtown needs to include parking components. Housing and parking is like peanut butter and jelly. They go together. We all know we have housing. We have parking. Everybody has cars. It hasn't changed. Does everybody here have a car? Just kind of want to ask who has a house and who has a car. Not many of us are downtown pedestrians only. We like to get out the road. We like to go hiking on all our hiking trails. We like to go to Home Depot, et cetera, et cetera. To the ferry, that's another one. The housing director must be directed to consider parking in any of his housing decisions. Thank you.
Any questions from the assembly? Thank you very much for your comments. Okay, that will bring us back to... Yes, Mr. Hanna?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hello, for the record, I'm Dave Hanna, 11495 Mendenhall Loop Road, and I'd like to make it clear that I'm not speaking in regards to any of the groups I'm affiliated with or work with, nor am I an apartment owner. I'm just here speaking as a member of the public. And I think the Affordable Action, the Housing Action Plan is a good thing in most regards. It has some very good goals. It has some very good ideas for implementation. But I think it still needs a little bit of work. There's some things that we spoke up about some time back, and some of it got fixed and some of it didn't. I'm not going to go down a long list of it, but just for example, on page 54, you have a section in there where we're going to make sure that every rental unit is registered, and then it's going to get inspected. Well, we don't know how many rental units there are in Juneau, but good guess is there's thousands. I don't think we can afford to pay to have all those units inspected on a regular basis. I think we now have a code compliance officer who, if there's a complaint, could go out and inspect these units, but I don't think we have to create a whole nother regime and another cost to the city. My other concern is that if we adopt this housing action plan as part of the comp plan, it will not only create more work for city staff and for the planning commission, but it may end up tying their hands. I mean, we just heard that testimony about we have to have more parking, whereas we have a very nice proposal in front of us tonight to develop some housing downtown. And I think the manager addressed it very well. Sometimes you can't address both issues at the same time. Sometimes you're going to have to address housing. Then you're going to have to turn around and figure out how to address parking, but you can't always do it both at the same time. And if we have this action plan as part of the comp plan, I don't want it to tie our hands to be able to be innovative and do things out of the box. So that's what I have to say. Try to be brief.
Thank you. Mr. Hanna. Are there any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
you. My name is Mandy Cole, C-O-L-E, and I am a member of the Affordable Housing Commission. I live at 8721 North Loop Way. I wanted to just kind of bring us back to the original intent behind the Housing Action Plan, which was to set out a kind of guiding document that could provide direction and ideas for how to move the needle on housing in Juneau. So for many years, housing has been before you as an urgent issue, not just of kind of the importance of the community, but like health and safety reasons. And as both a member of the commission and as an employer here in town, I know that we have lost out on wonderful opportunities for people to move to Juneau who couldn't afford housing here. So as the commission went about commissioning this report or this plan, we weren't looking for ways to tie the assembly's hands in by any means. What we were looking for were out-of-the-box ideas to solve a problem that we've been wrestling with for a really long time. And so the result is a plan that has many, many, many suggestions and many directions that we could take up if we choose to. And adopting it as part of the comprehensive plan doesn't mean that every line that is written in the HAP is going to become ordinance or become law. It means these are the variety of tools that lay before us and that we can choose those. And if we choose those, there's some suggestions on how we might go about implementing them. It was never meant to be something to kind of make the problem stickier. It was meant to add more direction and more options on the table, which I understood to be the desire of the assembly and of our community every time we talked about housing. And so it is my hope that you'll continue to see the document for what it is, which is a buffet. It's a buffet of suggestions and ideas that we can look to, and we already have started looking to on the commission to research new ways of thinking and new ways of doing things that could bring some real change to the housing picture here in Juneau. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cole. Any questions? Thank you.
Kathleen Strasba. I'm also a member of the commission, 415 Willoughby. I would underscore what Mandy said, and I would also add just a couple of points about what the Housing Action Plan is. As Mandy said, it was a buffet. It is also a document that, in having suggestions, still requires, like other elements of the comprehensive plan, that you take an affirmative action to make something happen. In other words, taking the registration concern as an example, that would not occur unless you took an independent action to require that. As an aside, it's my understanding there were two or three reasons why that idea came up. One is to assess how much space might be available for apartments. Another idea that arose afterwards is there are some safety problems with our denser housing in terms of being able to find people when there's an emergency. But the most important thing to remember, in addition to the fact that this plan represents a compendium of many ideas for the assembly to pick from time to time, or from which you may be asked to pick items, it is also it's also a situation where you can decide not to take an action, but the overall effort was to try to come up with ideas to make things change, because the way things were working before just wasn't improving our stock of housing. Thank you.
If you'll wait just a second. Any questions? Ms. Gladys.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Could you just briefly go through the, especially for the members who weren't here for a long, how long you've worked on this? 2 years ago you started. Just a brief summary of what you did to create this document.
Yes, I in fact wasn't joined the commission after this process was well underway, but I did participate in it as a witness, if you will. I talked to the consultants representing another organization, but it has been a couple of years. It went through several public discussions at the commission, It was discussed at the Planning Commission. It's been discussed here at the Committee of the Whole. It has arisen several times in the course of discussing projects that have come before you for consideration. For example, I think there are two or three cases have arisen where you've been asked to look at zoning changes or disposal of city land. So it's been it has been a couple of years. It was commissioned in an effort to try to figure out what to do about our serious problem, and it went through a lot of public discussion before it even went to the Planning Commission. I say this as someone who was asked to speak and then also attended a public meeting about it, and then came here likewise to hear more about it. And it involved the presentation by experts, but also many different groups in the community testified. We had public hearings on it, invited the public to come and talk about the plan specifically. So there has been quite a bit of public input after the document development was complete, which is many months ago now.
Thank you.
Sorry, Sam, I thought you wanted to testify for a minute there. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Mr. Mayor, there were several people in the audience that said they would talk about this when they testified on the North Franklin lot. And I would just remind them that we will have taken some action on this before that. So you might ask them if they want to reconsider whether they want to testify on something we've already acted on after we've done it. So I just think in fairness, they should be aware of that.
Okay. Brings it back to the assembly.
Are you ready for a motion? Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we accept the Housing Action Plan by resolution. I can ask for unanimous consent.
I object.
Okay.
If I might speak to the objection. The ordinance before us makes it part of the comprehensive plan by adopting the Housing Action Plan. So I think Ms. Becker's motion is out of line unless it first is to pass the ordinance as it's written and then amend it. So I don't believe that her motion is in order.
I would find it germane, and if you'd like, I can ask for a vote of the assembly whether the motion is germane or not. I find that there are two ways to go about it, and part of the discussion was to accept the motion by resolution, and if that fails, then you go on to the ordinance and the comp plan. So I think it is germane.
Mr. Mayor, I guess I'd look to the city attorney. Public notice was provided to the voters that there's an ordinance here adopting it, amending the comprehensive plan by adopting the Housing Action Plan. So we took public testimony on. So we got some emails about. And so my question, I guess, would be to the city attorney about the legality of taking action on a different thing without addressing what we noticed, or doing something that required that has a different title. Can we do that without providing public notice?
So you'll have to deal with this if eventually, if it was the will of the assembly, though, to adopt the plan by resolution. There isn't a motion pending right now on the ordinance, so a motion would need to be made to adopt the ordinance. If that motion were made
my motion was to accept.
Right. So if someone else had spoken and made a motion to adopt the plan, adopt the ordinance, pass the ordinance, and that motion would be pending, you'd have to deal with that. My understanding is that there's a motion to instead adopt the plan by resolution, which is right now the only motion on the table. If that passes, that will dictate what you have to do with this ordinance. It would be defeated, but by adopting the plan by resolution instead of by ordinance, which would not make it part of the comp plan, but which would make it an adopted plan.
So just to follow up, we have no notice requirement, no requirement to tell the public when we're considering a resolution.
So I was asked about this earlier, and the adoption of the plan by a method has been publicly noticed. I was asked earlier to draft a potential resolution, but my understanding is that resolution would not be heard tonight, that it would be noticed for the next meeting.
Ms. Fletcher, Mr. Nankervis.
Okay, now if the motion was to adopt it by resolution, but you just said we couldn't do that right now anyway, and so that's one piece. But the other piece is, this is the ordinance that was noticed. I would think that as far as order goes, we should vote on this and then vote on something else later. If we vote on the first thing that's not even noticed, that seems backwards.
This is difficult because the two are inconsistent. You can't do both. So if there's a desire, which my understanding is there's a desire from Ms. Becker to adopt it by resolution, if she could not wait until after the discussion on the ordinance to discuss that, because it would be moot unless the ordinance failed. So because they're inconsistent, I don't believe it is inappropriate for Ms. Becker to raise the question by motion, since there is not a motion on the floor right now to adopt this ordinance. But this ordinance does need to be dealt with one way or the other tonight.
Mr. Jones.
So, if the motion were to pass, then would that mean that the resolution you drafted that would be heard at a different date would be moot as well, because we wouldn't need to come back and have a full resolution? This would be the end of it. The motion is the resolution.
No, there would need to be a resolution adopting the plan. There would need to be a motion directing staff to draft a resolution to bring back to you adopting the plan.
Mr. Jones.
But that's not the motion that Ms. Becker made, correct? So if we voted yes on her motion, the way it's stated, that would not cause this resolution to come back later.
Correct. There would need to be if that's your stated intent and you want to adopt the plan by resolution, then I would say to you, would you like me to draft an ordinance to that effect to bring back to you? It would be a piece that would need to be talked about, but it's the same. I think I'm not following your question because it's...
Well, the question is, motion as I understand it, is to adopt the plan by resolution. It doesn't say then to instruct staff to bring back a resolution. It doesn't do any instruction to staff. It just simply adopts the plan as by resolution. That's all the motion that was made. Therefore, if it passed, we'd be done.
No.
I don't agree.
There has to be assembly action to actually, it has to be adopted by resolution, but the assembly does not always, sometimes in making your intent, manifesting your intent, it requires me to ask follow-up questions or clarifications, which is what would happen in this situation, because there would have to be a resolution brought back to you to adopt it. If that was the assembly's desire and you all agreed to adopt this by resolution instead of by ordinance, which would make it an adopted plan but not part of the comp plan, then I would make that happen by bringing forward a resolution.
Mr. Gale.
Just so I want to make sure I understand the attorney right. She's understanding Ms. Becker's motion to be direction to staff to draft a resolution and bring it back to us.
That would be the only way to adopt the plan by resolution.
And so with that understanding, let me just turn to Ms. Becker and ask if that's how you intended the motion, so we know what we're voting on.
I certainly understand what the attorney is saying, and I believe she's correct, and if that's how she says it should be done, I don't think it matters if I say she has to do it or she doesn't. She's going to do it if this motion passes, because it's what has to be done by the attorney.
I think I got clarity. Thank you.
Okay. You have a motion on the floor. Discussion, please.
I maintain my objection.
Can I say something?
Ms. White?
Okay. I just think for the benefit of the public, the reason for a resolution rather than adoption and incorporation into the plan is really kind of in order. There was a memo that was given to us on that was dated October 26th that basically says if the housing plan is simply adopted by resolution, then it's a plan that's aspirational, provides guidance for decision making. It just becomes a set of guidelines to keep in mind for future actions. If it is adopted and added to the comprehensive plan, it becomes the rule. And it's at this, I spent most of the weekend marking up, there's not a page of this plan that I didn't find something that I found objectionable. So I just think that it's important that the public understand why there are a few of us that would rather see it by resolution. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Becker, do you care to speak to your motion?
I like Ms. White, found a number of things that I feel that if in fact it is, and the direct quote is, if adopted by ordinance, it has the force of policy. And unless we really feel very comfortable that, you know, all the rentals should be on a register, seems to me like that's making us an open town, like we voted down in the AML. And so that was a big concern. And of course, having this be the force of policy is a big concern too, because as I mentioned last time, when it gets into the comp plan, it is pretty much open for interpretation by those people who are interpreting and who want something done. I just think it's a dangerous thing, and I would rather go to resolution. And I know that action can still be taken by resolution, but I don't think it's going to be up to just a person.
Mr. Gale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I have a couple of reactions, one of which is that we had some discussion of this at the, I think, Committee of the Whole a couple of weeks ago. So I don't want to rehash all of the arguments. As Ms. White noted, it's worthwhile to do a little coverage for benefit of the public and folks who are listening. I think that it's important that we remember the comprehensive plan itself is aspirational. It says so.
It is not. It does not.
Well, I mean, I'm happy to pull it up, but it does, however, the things in the comprehensive plan are things, standards against which we review proposals that come forward, and it's you know, it's interesting that somebody used the phrase in a memo, the force of policy. If we adopt a plan, it is the policy of the city and borough of Juneau. What I'm hearing here tonight seem to be not objections necessarily to including the housing action plan and the comprehensive plan, where we really look at proposals that come before us and determine whether there's something we really want to do or not do based on this comprehensive plan we have. But it's about adopting a plan with elements we don't want in a plan, which is kind of weird. And that's, in my view, why we took this thing up at the Committee of the Whole. Certainly, I put forward some proposals at Committee of the Whole, and we changed the plan in some places. So if we need to change the plan, let's amend it. if it's so bad, it shouldn't be the policy of the city and borough of Juneau. Let's reject the whole thing. But if we want it to be a policy of limited application because we don't like it, not a policy of broad application because we don't like it, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I guess, rather than keep talking while I try and find the parts of the comprehensive plan where it explicitly says it's aspirational in nature, I will look that up while I let someone else debate.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, we did have this discussion, but for the benefit of other people, again, I served on the Planning Commission for many years. The comprehensive plan has many, many things in it. Aspirational. It talks about parking. It talks about clean air. It talks about clean water. It talks about housing. It talks about transportation. And the job of the planner and the Planning Commission is to look at development proposals through all of those lenses. And as people have said, you could find anything, many things in the comprehensive plan to support your development proposal, and also probably some that don't. So it is not an ordinance of with specific, it does not obligate funds. It is it is the force of policy. And this plan has been worked on for over 2 years. We first heard a draft of it over a year ago. The Housing Commission, as you heard, had many hearings on it. They changed it. We changed it. And again, if there are things in it that we don't agree with, we should change them, not debate whether they should have a little less weight as a resolution or a little more weight as the part of the comprehensive plan. I think that's kind of the hairs we're splitting here. Slightly less weight, slightly more weight. We have a housing problem. We've had a housing issue for decades. It is a hard nut to crack. Every time we get close to trying to do something, many people object. This is just another tool, more tools to say we really need to do these things to move our community forward. So I'm in favor of putting it in the comprehensive plan, and if there are things in it that we object to, we should amend it. That's what I think.
Okay. Anyone else that hasn't spoken?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would also like to share with my colleagues that the comprehensive plan was modified back in 2013, I do believe, and a section of the comprehensive plan actually calls for us to develop a housing action plan. And it is my opinion that, you know, we should be adopting the comprehensive or the housing action plan as part of the comprehensive plan.
Any further discussion, Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm still stuck at the beginning. I think several other people are in their heads as well. But I'll be the first to admit it. I think normally how we would handle a situation like this was somebody would move adoption of the ordinance and then speak against their motion. And then we have that debate, and then if that motion fails, then the next motion is made. I think that is everybody. I'm getting kind of high-centered on that a little as well. I would also like to speak. I'll try and keep it very brief. I was a fence rider the first time, so nobody will be surprised if I'm serving waffles tonight. I have the more I scratch at this, the more I have some serious concerns about what's in it. And I am concerned that there's enough changes to be made that they can't be made tonight to my satisfaction. And I can understand the arguments that several members are making that we either don't put it in or put it in, but don't put it in with things that we don't like in it. And there's things that the more I thought about them, I just don't like. And don't want them included, but it will take me a large amount of time that I'm not prepared to go through tonight to make all those motions for modifications. tonight, so I am all that, and I'm not sure where I'm at right now with the motion again, because I'm still high-centered on the earlier stuff. Thank you.
Ms. Weldon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I appreciate Mrs. Cole's comment, buffet of suggestions. I think it is a very creative plan and has lots of good ideas, but I'll say what I said to the committee of the whole. It ties with a fiscal note that I'm still wary of in these financial uncertainties, so I'm still concerned. I mean, even the code enforcement officer that it says that we should find funding for, I believe we're trying to find funding for all other things, so that's why I would say that this should be more a resolution at this time than an ordinance.
Ms. White.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think another thing that's giving me a lot of pause about this, you know, we've been working on it for 2 years. 2 years ago, our state wasn't in the fiscal crisis that we're in today. They weren't. They're still talking cutting another 400 jobs out of state government. Odds are a lot of those are going to be right here. We're in the process of selling a bunch of land that there's going to be in between 100 and 200 units of affordable, meaning subsidized housing. This morning when I looked on Craigslist, there's 235 rentals listed on Craigslist. And a lot of you know that I work in the real estate industry, and in the rental market, we are seeing a serious softening of that market. I mean, I know people who are who have lots of units. One person in particular has over 40 rental units of their own, and they've got 12 vacant ones right now. People aren't even wanting to come look at them because there's just too many to come look at. They're wanting the property owners or managers to send them pictures so they can decide which ones they want to go see, because there's enough to choose from. So my hesitations not only are with staff interpretations and how they can decide that this is the way it should go, but it's that it's a moving target, and it's not moving in our favor right now. And as much as I was for a lot of the different things within the plan, there's some great ideas. There's stuff about talking about looking at your zoning ordinance. There's things about talking about density and height, changing all that. But it seems like what we're focusing on is subsidies, forcing property owners to allow somebody to come in and inspect their property once a year, like even if they're not accepting Section 8. We're talking about requiring developers to do a percentage of their property as subsidized or low, you know, rentals for lower income people. We're talking about taking away the free market. And the more I talk to people within the real estate industry and within the building industry, what I see is this: adopting this and putting it into the comprehensive plan is not going to make things better. It's going to make things worse. And we've already got a hard enough time getting good builders and good developers to come do things here, because, frankly, a lot of times our city departments don't even really appear to be open for business because they're looking for ways to deny. And that has got to stop. So I'm not even in favor of doing this as a resolution, but if it's a resolution as opposed to incorporation in the plan, I'll go with that. I talked to people who've been trying to work on making subdivisions for months, if not months, even over a year. It's not like that in other parts of the world. I don't know where we get these harebrained ideas to make things as difficult as we possibly can on property developers, but let the free market do its thing. Don't force people to build a certain percentage of their project as being subsidized housing. There's just so many other things that we could be doing. And by the way, it says we need to have at least $3 million in money to lend out at no cost. Where are we going to come up with that? We don't know. Oh, I'm sorry. We do know the ideas that they had. We're going to start charging more for permit fees. We're going to start having a developer who maybe somebody's building a high-end home. We're going to penalize them by charging them even more so they can go into this special fund. That's, I just don't see that as acceptable because all it's going to do is drive up the costs for everybody else. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, the question before you, Mr. Jones.
Thank you. I guess Ms. White was reading a different plan than I was reading. I read in a plan that Juneau doesn't have a free market in housing because of many other constraints. I know that we getting some developers from Anchorage and from Seattle willing to come up here because they consider the restrictions on them to be a little bit more onerous than ours. I don't disagree with a lot of the other issues that Ms. White raised. I think that I, too, like Mr. Nankervis, vacillated at the Committee of the Whole. I'm still vacillating. I was had about three pages of notes that I was going to talk about tonight about some of the things that concern me, but we're not there yet. We're just talking about basically adopting this by a resolution because some members are reading a memo that they're interpreting as law. And I'll just, if I might, I'll just like to read. If the HAP is added to the comprehensive plan, city projects would be evaluated against the HAP plan. It doesn't say that that becomes law. It doesn't say anything. It just says it will be evaluated. If it's done by resolution, it becomes a set of guidelines for future action. The primary difference would be the review of land use actions for consistency with the comp plan. And it's possible that not adopting the housing plan as part of the comp plan potentially would increase the number of appeals. As the Planning Commission made decisions, people would say, why didn't you consider this? Why didn't you consider that? It may be that adopting it as part of the plan also increases the number of appeals because we will be unclear, or the developers will think the assembly will override them because of this discussion. And so if a plan gets turned down, then that will be appealed. I just don't know what the answer is. I know I wish the plan was better written. I noticed in some of the plans that are listed in the ordinance that we're not considering is that they adopted a chapter out of the Willoughby plan. They adopted a chapter from the West Douglas conceptual plan. But this plan is not written, so we could just adopt a chapter. It has a series of solutions, but not any way in which we could pick and choose, we like this, we don't like that, and make that as part of the comprehensive plan. But I still think that this motion shouldn't be on the table. We should look at the other and either adopt it or not. And so I'm going to maintain my objections.
Further discussion?
One more.
Ms. White and Mr. Keel.
Okay, so I'm looking through my Planning Commission packet just to verify this. But every single thing that goes to the Planning Commission, part of the staff memo will be a comparison to the proposed development against the comprehensive plan. So while the comprehensive plan may at some point in it say it's aspirational, the fact is staff does not interpret it as such, particularly if they are not in favor of the actual development. So while it may say that it is aspirational, in practice, it is considered our policy.
Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I really like to go through hardware stores. I like hardware stores. There's a lot of cool stuff in hardware stores, and I got a lot of tools at home, and It's a small house, so sometimes I run into trouble with rust in the crawl space because I got to store so many of them. When I go through the hardware store, though, I can't buy some of the really cool stuff that I would love to have because there's no way to fit it in my house. But it doesn't mean Juno doesn't need a hardware store. So the comprehensive plan is full of implementing actions that haven't been implemented. This housing action plan has a lot of implementing actions that I hope we jump on, and a couple that aren't on my priority list. They're not going to fit in my house, but we still need one. I appreciate the comments about how city staff does review projects against the comprehensive plan. I have read many, many city staff memos on plans, projects coming to the Planning Commission that say, does it meet this item in the comprehensive plan? Yes. Does it meet that item in the comprehensive plan? No. Does it meet this item in the comprehensive plan? Yes. And it goes through. And sometimes it's a balancing act. It's what the Planning Commission does. By and large, I think they do a pretty good job of it. But I had to go back and look at this plan and what it said in terms especially of some of the things that aren't on my list of things to work on. And I would just note the verbs. Consider inclusionary zoning. Develop opportunities to partner with private developers. Invite local developers and then elsewhere invite outside developers. Inventory. Does say create a downtown improvement district, so there's one that's an active verb, but the vast majority of these things call on us to consider things, to evaluate things. Here we have to review opportunities. This is not a plan that says we are going to eliminate private sector housing development in Juneau. Quite the contrary. This is a plan that's built around encouraging it when you get down into what it actually calls for. And so I don't love everything in it. Some of these things I'm not going to grab hold of and try and pull forward. Others of these things I think are important and worthwhile. And so, I guess I have one other thought, a response to something I heard. Because I just, while we were up here, went back over, somebody had told me that our housing has tremendous vacancies right now, and we don't need a housing action plan. And so I heard a comment about it again, and I went back to Craigslist just to make sure I had read it right. And I was going through rental housing opportunities in Juneau, and over and over again, available until April 25th, available until May, available to, what does that say? To mid-April. So over and over and over again, units are for rent in Juneau and they're for rent seasonally. I quit looking at the second or third page of those rentals. That's not all of them, but there is a significant piece of what's available out there right now that's available out there right now because we're in between our two high seasons of legislators, staff, and lobbyists looking for housing and seasonal tourism industry workers looking for housing. Yeah, they're vacant now, but it doesn't mean we don't have a housing crunch. And it doesn't mean we don't need a housing action plan to get started on it. Thank you.
Ms. Pileschewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll be brief. Just wanted to respond to a couple of things. The member suggested that this housing action plan might make things harder for developers. And it obviously is designed to for the opposite in mind. And it is just in fact, when you are when the Planning Commission is evaluating a development proposal, there will be a stack of things on one side about the, in the comprehensive plan that talks about housing and how much we need housing and all these tools we could use for housing, and hopefully a smaller stack of things against the development regarding who knows what. But the point is to give the Planning Commission and the planners tools and more incentive to, in fact, approve these projects, because the comprehensive plan acknowledges that we want to do everything we can to, as the consultant said, unstick our housing market. So it is, in fact, designed to do the opposite of making things harder. And I'll note that, for example, many members on this assembly right now were here when we adopted the Juneau Economic Development Plan, which we adopted by ordinance into the comprehensive plan. There is a whole menu of things in that economic development plan that call for the expenditure of funds, and by adopting it into the comp plans, we are not saying we are doing each and every one of those things. Each and every one of those things, if they involve money, involve hiring someone, comes back to the assembly. So it doesn't these things that talk about many of these things, I'm with several people who have spoken, everything in here is not perfect. I think it just gives the Planning Commission and us more tools to use when we can to unstick our housing market, which is what this is designed to do. Thank you.
Further discussion?
Well, I, for one, am very happy to hear that we're having this level of debate about this very important issue. And as a former member of the Affordable Housing Commission, who spent a lot of time working on this plan with my colleagues on the commission, I think it's just great that we are having this discussion right now. I think it's very reflective of how serious this problem is in our community. I was saving some comments for my closing comments tonight, but I was talking with a realtor, and between November 1 of 2015 and November 15 of 2016, it's my understanding that there were 240 homes that sold in Juneau during that year and 15 days. The average number of days that home was on the, or that those homes were on the market was 50 days, and the average price for those homes was $398,401. I don't know about many of you, but I know that as a single professional working in this community, I cannot afford a $398,000 home right now. I aspire to, but today it's not possible. And it is for that reason that I support this plan, that we need to make some changes. There are some ideas that are in this plan that many of us don't agree with. They're new ideas, and that's exactly what this community needs at this point in time, is some new ideas to help bring the cost of that housing down and to increase our supply and to help grow our economy. And for that reason, I will be supporting the next vote on the ordinance to adopt this into the comprehensive plan.
Further discussion? Have we arrived at the motion? Okay. As I understand it, the motion is to accept the housing plan by resolution and bring a resolution to the next assembly to vote on. Does everybody agree on that? If we pass that as an affirmative, then we move on to the next agenda item. If it is defeated, then it will go back to the assembly for the ordinance motion. Will you read the motion, please?
Adopt the Housing Action Plan by resolution.
All right. Will you call the roll, please?
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Bartoszewski?
No.
Mr. Gregory?
No.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion carries. 5A, 4A.
Okay. Ordinance 2016-35. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance authorizing the manager to convey Lot 3 of the Renninger subdivision to the Juneau Housing Trust.
Mr. Manager.
Staff solicited letters of interest for the disposal of 6 residential lots in the Renninger subdivision. The Lands Committee reviewed 4 letters of interest at its April 25, 2016 meeting and its May 16, 2016 meeting, recommended authorizing the city manager to negotiate with the Juneau Housing Trust for sale of Lot 3. On August 29, 2016, Lands Committee unanimously passed a motion of support to dispose of Lot 3 in the Renninger subdivision to the Juneau Housing Trust for 50% less than fair market value. The ordinance outlining the disposal was introduced to the Assembly on September 26, 2016. In accordance with CBJ 5309-270, this sale is for less than fair market value because the Trust's proposal is to work with the University of Alaska Southeast and the Juneau School District to build affordable single-family homes while teaching students in the Educational Home Build Program. Homes built by the program will be sold outright, and Juneau Housing Trust will lease the underlying land to the homeowners with a 99-year land lease. The homes are intended to service the 80 to 120% median income range over the life of the land lease. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment? Assembly action, Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance number 2016-35, and I object for purpose of question, if I may.
You may.
Thank you. Just a question for the city attorney. The manager mentioned it in his report. I want to make sure that the language still works. It's section 3C of the ordinance, page 2, that's line 18, 19, mentions explicitly and exclusively the Juneau School District's home build program. And the manager mentioned that this is a partnership with the University of Alaska Southeast. So I just want to make sure that you don't find this language to be too restrictive and that the University of Alaska Southeast can be a full partner participant. It's not going to mess with their title to this land or our sale of the land.
The title is going to the Juneau Housing Trust only. Neither the Juneau School District nor the UAS will have title to the property at all. Their only involvement is through the home build program, and my understanding is that the home build program is a Juneau School District program that they work with UAS on. So it will not impact UAS's ability to participate in this program or Juneau School District's ability to participate, and title rests with the Juneau Housing Trust. Rest with the Juneau Housing Trust.
Including when UAS is the partner.
But the home build program, neither the home build program itself as an entity or Juneau School District or UAS will ever hold title to the property.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Do you remove your objection?
I remove my objection.
Mr. Jones.
I guess I will object for a question. Does the Juneau Housing Trust pay property tax? Are they a nonprofit? Are they excluded from property taxes?
Mr. Mayor, if we bring Ms. Rowcroft,
please.
Tamara Rowcroft, 1006 Craig Street, Juneau, Alaska, Vice President of the Juneau Housing Trust. Yes, we do pay property taxes.
That was my question.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you. So if this doesn't belong to either, because I think I understood, who pays the property tax?
So the property taxes are split. The Juneau Housing Trust pays property taxes on the land value, and the homeowners purchase the home through a traditional mortgage. They have property taxes included in their mortgage, which they pay. And that bill is split, and we both pay.
Okay.
both parties pay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any further questions? Any further objections? Motion carried. Do you want to take a five-minute break before we delve into the next one? Because I think it'll take a little.
All right. Thank you.
So.
I love It's a Wonderful Life. I love it so much, I want to do it all for you myself. Ready?
You want the moon, Mary? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it.
George Bailey, lasso Stewart.
You're worth more dead than alive.
Pottersville.
You see, George, you really had a wonderful life.
Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls!
Bring the whole family to This Wonderful Life at Perseverance Theater, December 9th to the 31st. Tickets, special dates, and pricing at ptalaska.org, the Jack, or 463-TIXS.
King Island Christmas returns to Juneau's downtown the first week of December with performances at the Jack. This holiday favorite will be performing Thursday, December 1st through Saturday, December 3rd at 7 p.m. with a Sunday matinee December 4th at 3. All proceeds will benefit the United Way and its member agencies. Tickets are available at the Jack, Hearthside Books, or at the door. This message is sponsored by the United Way of Southeast Alaska.
You are tuned to KTOO Juneau. And we're listening to the CBJ Assembly meeting. They've been currently gone on a five-minute break, and we'll be back. Tonight, scattered showers before 9 p.m., then rain mainly after 9 p.m., low around 34. Tomorrow and Wednesday, rain, high near 43. And stay tuned. We'll be back in about 5 minutes.
39B. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance authorizing the manager to negotiate a sale of North Franklin parking lot located at 310 Second Street to Eagle Rock Ventures, LLC.
Mr. Manager.
At the Assembly's direction, staff solicited letters of interest and applications for a negotiated sale of the North Franklin parking lot located at the corner of Franklin and 2nd Street. The Lands Committee reviewed the Eagle Rock Ventures LLC proposal at its June 27th, August 15th, August 29th, and October 10th, 2016 meetings. At its October 10th, 2016 meeting, the Lands Committee considered Eagle Rock Ventures LLC's proposal, but the motion supporting the proposal did not pass. At its meeting on October 17, 2016, the full Assembly passed a motion without objection directing staff to prepare an ordinance for its consideration authorizing the sale of the property to Eagle Rock Ventures LLC. Version B of the ordinance makes a change to Section 3D providing for the closing date. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Okay. Public comment. Mr. Tabor. Again, if you'll please state your name and address for the record, please.
Brock Tabor, 434 7th Street. Thanks for the opportunity to speak tonight. I had looked forward to congratulating you on your vision for adoption of the Housing Action Plan into the Comprehensive Plan. Obviously, you feel like the timing is not right. You feel like there's additional work that needs to be done. I hope you recognize, though, that there was a great deal of excellent work that's gone into this. I think people are very passionate about it. Change is hard, and it's something that needs to happen for those of us who live here and those of us who want to live here. So I hope you'll reconsider adoption of the plan in the future, pending changes and et cetera.
Mr. Tabor, you're speaking to?
I mentioned I was going to speak on both. So moving forward to the next part, The proposal in front of you, I think, has a great deal of merit to it. But like many projects and many businesses, location, location, location. I think this particular project has great intentions behind it. But I think developing a project of, from what I understand, with as many units as it has, without the parking, for the prices that it would be renting for, it's not necessarily the right project for this particular location for three reasons. The first is access. Access to resources such as Bartlett Hospital, search facilities, access to all of those facilities that people are going to need to affect their quality of life, their health. The second reason is going to be access to the services they need for shopping, resources, things like that. Access to Costco, access to Fred Meyer, access to the big box stores. Downtown does not necessarily have those particular options available, especially if you don't have a vehicle. And if you're planning on really trying to sell this to being a pedestrian-friendly populace, I think it's a great idea, but it might not necessarily come true that way. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to talk about parking, and I'll let them do that. What I want to focus on, though, is the third thing. What is the vision of downtown? We've got restaurants that are in Vogue magazine because of their quality. We've got galleries that bring artists from all over the state to our town. We've got lots and lots of opportunities for people who might have a little bit more disposable income that they're going to reinvest into downtown. And my question is whether or not this project is consistent with a vision that we have for the downtown businesses. If it's not, then I think you need to reconsider if this is the right location for it. I spent a great deal of time looking at the housing action plan and looking at the opportunities that we have for developing projects like this out by the hospital, in Lemon Creek, and in other areas which might be easier access for people when it comes to bus transportation, foot transportation, bike transportation than downtown. This might not be the best place for this project. And I'd ask you to reconsider whether or not we take this particular developer's idea, save it. Don't lose it. It's important, and it's something that we need in this community, but maybe just not in this particular location at this time. Thank you.
Questions?
Yes, I got a couple. Are you aware that when, at least when I first moved to Juneau in 75, there was a downtown grocery store? There was a shoe repair shop. There was all kinds of things. And a lot of those have been lost because we lost housing. People moved out of downtown. There wasn't a market. People weren't going to drive here to go to the grocery store downtown. They had Foodland and other places. And so that's one question about access. Maybe if more people moved here, a grocery store might develop. Some of these other things might develop. Would you consider that a possibility if
Absolutely. We
increase the density of housing in downtown?
Absolutely. I'm all in favor of that. But I'm not in favor of having the density increase so much and not having available parking or not having something that would be more of a mixed-use facility at this particular spot. This is why I refer back to the action plan. I think there's great opportunities for development. I've got, at least three properties in my neighborhood alone that are empty. Why is that? Shouldn't we be developing what we already have built in downtown? I don't want to see a parking lot necessarily in that spot forever, but I do want to see if we are going to develop, let's develop something that maybe is a little less dense in that particular location and is going to bring in a little bit more money into the downtown businesses. I don't have the benefit of being here as long as you do, sir. I only moved here in 97. But I do remember the shoe store, and I still have the boots that I had repaired there. So I would love to see those businesses come back.
Any other clarification? Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Tabor, thank you. I've actually got a pair of shoes under my desk. The same guy's working out of his garage fixing my shoes, and you can bring your boots to him when they're ready for new soles. I got your email this afternoon. Thank you. And I guess between that and your testimony, is it your impression that this is a proposal for subsidized housing? Because that's not been my understanding. My understanding is that it's been market rate housing.
I've heard a little bit of both. So what I see with market rate, I would ask the question of what is the market that you're trying to sell this to? If it's something where you're looking at no parking for X amount of units, I don't think that's necessarily going to target the people that are going to have the disposable income that are going to spend the money in the downtown businesses that we've been proposing and trying to promote downtown.
Thank you.
That it?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Ms. Davis.
My name is Morgan Humphreys Davis, and I live at 633 Harris, and I have a business at 431 North Franklin as a physical therapist. I first want to thank you all for serving our community. It's an important job and the opportunity to speak. I'm mostly concerned about this project because of the parking. It's definitely become much more congested in the last couple of years in both my neighborhood and down where my patients park. And even though I have an off-street parking place, it's often filled with people who are not supposed to be in there, and people are trying to get there with their physical challenges. And I think as a downtown business owner, it makes it it's difficult to maintain my location downtown without parking getting sorted. So I wanted to hope that you'll consider the other application that has parking as part of its plan. Thank you.
Any questions? Clarification? Thank you.
Thank you.
Dale Whitney?
Good Good evening. My name is Dale Whitney, 3621 McGinnis Drive, and I am, along with Ms. Hess over there, part owner of the Helenthal Building, the Old Palace Theater, and also the McKinnon Apartment Building, which are all in the neighborhood of this project. I strongly agree that we need more housing in Juneau and just about everywhere. We need more housing downtown. And my general view is that the city needs to sell off the property it owns, get out of the way, and let developers do their thing. People have probably heard me say that. I oppose this project because I think this is a unique situation. I think the downtown historic district is unlike anywhere else in Juneau, and it's deteriorating. It's not deteriorating. It's being diluted as a historic district. And there are cultural and social values to a historic district, but historic districts are also worth money. They're worth money to landowners like me. They're also worth money to the city as a whole. People travel to Juneau to experience the feel of downtown and the history. So while I don't necessarily personally oppose housing on this property, I've been down in Seattle a lot. I've seen the kind of buildings that are just going up everywhere. You look there, they're not necessarily ugly buildings. Some of them are very nice, but they're not the kind of, they're certainly not what you would consider Art Deco architecture. And if you look at North Franklin, you look up and down the street, all of the buildings there are historic buildings with the exception of one. And that building is not an unattractive building. It has the Saffron restaurant in it. It was built in a design and scale that's consistent with the neighborhood, but it's clearly a modern building. And that building was put up by a private developer, and so there was really nothing people could do. This is a different situation with the city owning the land. I feel that the city has some power here, some leverage to make sure that development going forward is more consistent with the historic nature of the building. Another building that I think we all know the story of is the Gastineau Apartment Building. I think the city did what it had to do in that situation, but the fact is there was a Art Deco facade for that building that, if it had been maintained and restored, would have been very attractive and contributed to the historic nature. So I think that a building could be constructed in such a way that it fit within the historic nature of the building there, of the area. And I think more effort should be made to make that happen. I guess I would conclude by looking at the Housing Action Plan, and on page 62, it said that a downtown strategy should be developed, and housing development in the area, disposition of city-owned parcels should be strategic, closely aligned with public priorities for the area, and handled in a way that holds developers accountable. I think that perhaps sale of this property should wait until a plan has been developed, and public priorities for that area, I think, strongly include preserving the historic feel of it. There's ongoing efforts right now, I'm sure you're probably familiar with, to preserve the historic nature of the neighborhood down there. It says right there, actually in the next paragraph, these recommendations are meant to build upon the planning efforts already underway in Willoughby District and Downtown Historic District. So buildings like this can easily last more than a century. The Helenthal Building is 100 years old, and my engineer says it's a young building, that it's got centuries left in it if someone maintains the roof, which we intend to do. So I think that the decision you make tonight will outlive everyone in this room, that 100 years from now, people will look back and see what happened here and how it affected that area. The decision here will influence for decades to come the attractiveness of that area for tourism and visitors. And so I would urge the Assembly to take the long view and make sure that any development in this area is more consistent with what's already there. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Whitney, any clarification? Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Whitney, thanks. I do have one question. Right now, the historic district ends on the downhill side of Second Street. So this lot, the Lemon Tree Cafe, they're not in it. Did they used to be? Am I missing a?
I don't think that they used to be. There's talk of expanding the historic district, the technical historic district. McKinnon Apartments that we just acquired are not in the historic district, but they are on the Federal Register independently. And if you look at the buildings, both south and north, it's a historic neighborhood. So I think that, as I understand it, I think the Baranoff is in the historic district. Yeah. So whether it should have been in the boundaries of the technical historic district, if there was a building there that was historic, I'm sure it would be.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Mr. Jones?
Are you aware that we had to exclude the Sea Alaska Heritage Building from the historic district in order to get it built the way it's built? I guess that's a question about whose historic district, what the value of the historic district is. And I think the Downtown Business Association and many others are looking at how should downtown look? How should downtown be branded? How, you know, is it Victorian mining town or is it something else? And so while I appreciate your comments about some of the historic buildings, I think there's a lot of dialogue going on right now that may change some of that in the future.
Can I respond?
Yes.
I'm aware that an exception was made for the Sea Alaska building. I think there are a lot of different issues that were going on there that don't arise in this situation. I think the Sea Alaska building is itself a historic accomplishment in its own right, and I think 100 years from now people may look back and say this is the first time you've seen Clinkett design incorporated into a modern building. So I think that's a different issue. I think what we're talking about putting up here is a circa 2016 apartment building. And I don't think that will contribute to what we're getting from the downtown area currently. And I would also point out that the Sea Alaska building, because of the history on display there, is bringing tourists into Juneau. People are going there to see that building. That makes the other buildings there more valuable because there are more people coming to see it. This building will provide housing. It will compete with the apartments that we hope to build in the Helenthal building, but they're also customers for the retail spaces in the Helenthal building. So I don't think that just a 2016-style apartment building is the same situation as that building.
Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had a point of order, but it's moot at this point. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Hess?
My name is Christine Hess, and I also live at 3621 McGinnis Drive. And luckily for me, I am in agreement with most everything Mr. Whitney said. It's good for household harmony. I also own, with him and some other people, the McKinnon Apartments, the old bank building, and the Palace Theater, all which are in the heart of the area where the proposed building would be sited. It is an area currently undergoing a revitalization and is surrounded by historic buildings. I like to call it a 1920s Vice Street, and that's it. It will be its appeal. Devil's Brew, Malga Distillery, Barnaby Brewing, and the Pot Shop are all there, and thus its nickname, Vice Street. I believe it is important to maintain that feel, both for tourism and the charm of the neighborhood. Normally, I would say developers get their choice on what they get to build, but I believe when you're adjacent to or in a historic area, there should be some consideration of what and how something is built. The RFP had no specifications for how the project would be built, and so the developer would have no obligation to build the building in a historic manner. I think another thing of interest is the evaluation of the proposed project talked about the economic impact to the community, but it didn't talk about the long-term economic impact and circulation of money. Because the investors are from Seattle, the monthly rent rolls will roll out of town and down to Seattle. And if you think about that over time, you're looking at $20,000 to $30,000 a month that leaves this community and goes to Seattle. And we go to Seattle a lot, and I can tell you Seattle is thriving, and they don't need the money. The money needs to be here circulating in town with a local developer. Other people have talked about the parking, but one of the things I'm going to bring up is that everybody says the parking is not the highest and best use of a downtown area, but the bottom line is parking will never be the best use of property in a downtown core, but you also can't have a downtown if you don't have parking. And I think that's something that's already happened here. You've lost business because people get frustrated with trying to find parking downtown. I realize we also need housing, but I think it has to be a combination of both. We own the McKinnon Apartments. We have 12 parking spaces. Is that the best use of that property? No. Best use of that property would be for us to put up 20 more condos. And you just would compound your problem. If everybody does that, if every parking lot gets turned into condos, pretty soon there's no parking at all. I think the other thing you have to consider is the developer has developed in Seattle where there's an extensive transportation system and there's cores where all your needs can be met in a core in Seattle, even a doctor. You can get them all in a core. You can't do that in Juneau. We're a long, thin community because we're on a coastline. We're stuck between an ocean and a giant mountain, and the only way to go was long. So it's much more difficult without an extensive transportation system to not have a car here. And there are no zip cars. There are no shared cars here. You know, if you really want to get around, you kind of have to have a car. And I'm all for communities without cars one day, but that's a tough nut to crack here unless we're going to make some changes in the transportation system that we currently have. And last, I'd say I'm not sure the housing need is as urgent as it used to be. I have a lot of friends with rental properties. We're pretty well networked with people who own buildings. The rental market has significantly softened. Most of my friends with rental properties, their rentals are staying open for months at a time. They are year-round rentals. A lot has been built in the last couple of years. Vista 1 and 2 have come on with 70 units. There was a large number of condos built by the Lakeside condos that are new. There's more going up on Riverside. There's some boarding-type optional housing going out also in the Valley area. And with the economic downturn, I think you're going to see more people leaving, and I believe there's also a proposal from the legislature to reduce staff by as much as 40. And although that's just a proposal, I think in the next couple of years it might be likely. Also lessening demand. I also believe that working with existing landowners to renovate the existing second and third floors of buildings that are already here to start meeting downtown housing needs may be a better way to go. And I think there needs to be outreach to existing landlords and to work for some grants from the cruise ship head tax to help do those costly renovations, especially for things like facades, which are in a historic district, sprinkler systems, which are extremely expensive, and I believe a recommendation of one of the task force. So I would urge you to take a pause and reevaluate the way to solve this problem. And if you choose to go ahead, I would suggest rebidding it with an RFP that is much more specific and defined.
Clarification? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anyone else that has not signed up that wishes to testify?
I think I'm on the list.
Is there a list back there?
I think it's back here. Shall I go?
Please. Come up.
Catherine McCarthy. I live at 414 3rd Street.
and thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm opposed to this ordinance to sell the second Franklin property to build, I think it's the 33 or 35 units of studio apartments. I think that's the type of building that's being, or the kind of apartments that are being proposed. They're not going to be, if anything, more than one bedroom apartments. And I don't know if there's been any real thorough analysis of who's going to rent, who are the people are going to rent those apartments. I live in a house that was built in 1895, and it's historical. The Bergman Hotel, which is just up the street, is on the National Historic Registry. Other houses on 3rd Street are historical. There are four houses in our neighborhood that are empty. The house that's directly across from our house, we live at 414, has been empty for the last, as long as I've lived in that house, which has been over 20 years. So, along with the other people that have testified tonight, I thoroughly agree that we need to preserve and do something about enhancing the historical nature of our community. I think we have not done a good job at all promoting Juneau as a mining town, as having the history that it has. We are a town that's full of, on South Franklin Street, T-shirt shops and jewelry shops owned by people who don't, they don't even live here, most of them. And our downtown right now is pretty dead. It's really not a vibrant downtown. And when the Main Street people came here and gave their report, I was a little baffled because I couldn't really understand what town they were talking about. It seemed to me that when I walked to the library from my home down Franklin Street or Sewer Street, I do not see this type of activity that they were reporting on. I see a lot of people sleeping in doorways frequently, and I think we do need housing for people who are indigent, people who can't afford the types of apartments that are going to be built on the parking lot property. I know that we have some housing that's going up out at Lemon Creek for Housing First, people who have problems with alcohol and who may not be able to afford or don't have jobs, afford an apartment. But I really would like to see our community become the kind of community I think that it could be, which is beautiful, instead of, you know, having another Mendenhall Apartments built there. And I know the Mendenhall Apartments do house many people, but I understand that they even have vacancies right now. So I don't think this project is well thought out. I think the parking is a major issue, certainly on our street. We also have people who park on our street and warehouse their cars on our street because they don't have, wherever they're living, they don't have parking, and they leave their cars on our street. And we call the police, and the police eventually pink tag their cars, and they have to move them. But sometimes the cars are there on Gold Street or on 3rd Street or on 4th, not so much 4th, but on Harris, 3rd and Harris, for, you know, many, 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 many days, even weeks. So that's my testimony. I certainly hope that you will not pass this ordinance and sell this property to have a 2016 apartment building, five stories, in this historic part of town. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Any questions for clarification?
Thank you.
Ms. Waller? Joni?
My name is Joni Waller. I live at 315 3rd Street. I have a prepared statement, but I'd also like to respond to what some of the other people have said. And I own two houses and a cottage on 3rd Street that I have put a lot of time in renovating. And I, too, like to have had dreams about how I could renovate them to become more of historic, more around the 1900 circa date, as opposed to, since we're right on the outside of the historic district, that keeps it right around a little later, the Art Deco era. And I think that there's been, there's maps that tell the tourists where they can come, or they should walk, and they should walk right through our neighborhood to go see the Russian Orthodox Church and to go to Perseverance Trail. And right now I am embarrassed about them walking through there. And I think that we can do a lot to it and with it to make it be a really cool place, is what I want to call it. I want to say the Sarah at the general store, she has really good font on her sign, the Alaska General Store. I've been wanting to coordinate with her on that, and she left town. And a lot of that was the pressure on the parking lot. So she closed up shop, and there's an awful lot of empty shops in our neighborhood. And the bookstore closing with D getting old and ending that, there's going to be a lot of changes. So, but what I wanted to talk about in my 3 minutes is the fact that the land use code in parking spells out the rules and regulations for parking requirements for new buildings. There, and it's pretty explicit about what can be built. There's an exception to allow for dense downtown housing, and that's called PD1 district, parking district, and that allows for a 60% reduction. So I see that as a formula that has already been figured out, that for downtown we still need to have some parking, but probably 40% of the people will have cars and will need parking. And so then there's also another exception, is what it's called, that is called fee in lieu of parking, where they can pay so that they don't have to create parking, they don't have to develop parking. So right there I see two exceptions in this one area where the Eagle Rock Ventures company is offering to build something, and everybody that I hear is wanting to pass it on because we need housing. And it's like, yes, we do need housing, but we need parking too, and we have a percentage right there built in with PD1 that they automatically get. But now we want to give them, in order to have housing, in order to accept their bid, because, is that me already? I thought I heard it. Oh, good. So, you know, I feel like it speaks to desperation that we're saying, hey, we have an outside developer, and they said they're going to build something, and they're going to build big and small, you know, big, tall, with a lot of small units, and so we'll put a lot of people in there. And we'll deal with parking later. So I feel like there's enough public outcry on what about parking? Why are you building without parking? That's everybody's response. I have a 10 pages of petition of people saying, what? No parking? And I feel like public outcry should have some way of affecting the two exceptions. So we already have regular parking, we already have an exception for PD1, and then another one that allows them to come in here and build without parking, because it's easier. Nobody likes parking. Wow, it costs $65,000 per parking space. We can't rent it for $700 to $900 a month per person. At that, we have to put it up to $1,300 a month for a 300-square-foot unit. So I just feel like that needs to be said, in that we should have a say, that there's got to be something that tips the scale on that parking multiple layered exemption, or I think they call it exceptions. So that's all I have to say, actually, on that. I can go on and on. You've all got my letters. I've told you my story. And I feel like it's really going to affect me, because I do live, I own two houses that are on that parking lot. So it's going to affect my life and my business in a number of ways.
Any clarification? Mr. Jones.
I have two questions. One is, you're aware that in Parking District 1, 60% of the requirement is gone away, and then the business, any existing business downtown, any new, can pay in lieu of parking.
Yes.
To get rid of the rest. So there is nothing special about this particular builder or this particular development different from any other developer that would develop any place else in the parking District 1 area. They didn't want to provide the parking. You're aware of that?
Yes.
This is not an exception.
Well, it's called an exception.
No, I understand what it's called under the ordinance, but we're not making a decision on this developer different from any other development in downtown. You're aware of that?
I am.
Okay. And secondly, if you can explain to me how historic a flattened asphalt parking lot is, and to add to the historic development of the community. I mean, everybody talks about this historic district, and by putting up a modern building, what is now a parking garage, we would destroy the historic value. And I'm looking for what is the historic value of a flat parking parking lot.
Mr. Mayor, point of order.
Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you. If he has a question for clarification, he can ask that question for clarification, but I don't believe that was what is occurring.
Mr. Jones, your clarification question.
I think that Ms. Waller and others have talked about the historic district. They talked about the value of the historic district, and I'm asking what the value of a flat parking lot is. If you rule that that's out of order, I can save it for argument later, but I would like to know what they think the value of that is, and I'll accept whatever ruling you do.
And if you have a quick comment, fine. If not, we'll move on.
What I would answer when it comes to historic has to do with if you are going to build, if someone's going to build there, what I would like to see is something that is congruent with the district that looks like a hillside of colored roof lines that looks like a mining town, right? The parking lot itself is, there's two different issues. That serves the neighborhood. And what I've been, my angle has been that if you are going to build this, whoever builds it needs to have parking with it. And there's a whole other point about what the design looks like. According to this application, all we've seen is pictures of what they built in Seattle. So they're two different topics, in my opinion.
Okay, thank you. And we will just have clarification questions. Is it Mindy?
Thank you.
Okay, I'm Mindy Rogenkamp. I have the Franklin Street Barbershop right across from the parking lot. Yeah, there's no historic value in the flat parking lot. I'll grant it that. But I'm going to be bringing up the same old thing, beating a dead horse here, it sounds like, about the parking. It will affect me. It will affect my neighbor that's putting in his new brewery. The Baranoff Hotel. It's going to affect all of the neighborhood because just a quick estimate of my thinking, if you're putting in 30 living spaces, no, a lot of people won't have a car. But I figure two-thirds of them, so 20 spaces, you're taking away 25. You've got five new businesses coming in with that needing parking. The first floor is going to have parking, so you're looking 50 to 70 more cars. Where are they going to go? You know, it's not something that I know we need, some downtown housing, and I'm all for that. But let's come up with some ideas in a short, I mean, it will take a while probably, or some combinations of parking so we're not just getting rid of all of it, because I already have lost some of my older customers because they can't, you know, they have to walk too far. They just can't do it. Or with, you know, different things happening, they don't have the time to drive four times, five times in a three or four block area. So it's just a consideration I'm hoping you'll think of, because it's not just me, but it is all the other people that have businesses down there too, that it will be affecting them because you're putting so much more increase on the streets and trying to find parking. Down the line, it will, if you're going to keep taking it away, we have to find some combination for housing, businesses, and bring our people downtown to come visit us. Thank you.
Clarification questions.
Thank you.
Kay McCarthy? Okay, gotcha. And is it Pam?
I'm Paul. I'm going to testify now.
Okay, it is Paul. Sorry.
I've been called various names, but never Pam. Paul McCarthy, 414 3rd Street. I moved to Juneau in 1989 and have lived downtown the entire time, since 92 at the present location on 3rd Street. And I want to go back for a moment to Joni's rhetorical question to you earlier about how many of you drive. And I think the underlying assumption there is that you all drive. We all drive. And what I wonder is how many of you live downtown? I know that Jesse does. I think most of you don't. And you know about the lack of the problem of a lack of parking as a concept. It's an intellectual kind of thing. You haven't lived it. And I can tell you that parking now, downtown Juneau, is bad. Third Street, there are times when I have to drive 3-4, occasionally 5 blocks from the house to find a place to park. I work till 4 at the prison, so sometimes I linger so that I don't get home until 5, which is when the customer parking spots at the North Rim Bank become available for persons that aren't using the bank at that moment. I rely on that evenings and weekends, especially in the winter months when there's ice and snow on the streets and parking is much worse during those 3 or 4 months than it is even during the rest of the year. It's really bad. And so I want you to realize that, you know, this is not just an academic or an intellectual thing. It's a real problem for people living downtown. And as our assembly, I want you to do the neighborly thing of, you know, accommodating those of us who live downtown and are already experiencing this problem. I hesitate to offend any sensibilities, but I think it would be irresponsible of you to proceed with this project without accounting for the fact that parking is already a problem. Thank you.
Questions? Thank you. Is there anyone that has not signed up to testify that wishes to testify?
For the record, I'm Meriden Borio. I live and own my house at 403 1st Street, which are the stairs off of Gastineau. I just want to go on the record saying that I do not support this project in this spot at this time, and to voice my support for the folks who have testified before me and say that I support all those issues that they have brought up, and especially parking, since Gastineau is my street. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, my name is Steve Sankson. I have some written comments here that I wanted to hand out. But I live at, my address is P.O. Box 35854 in Juneau, Alaska. And I've been in Juneau as a resident and a taxpayer for over 35 years. I've been a design build general contractor, did more than 60 buildings in a variety of locations. Many of them were in downtown, and at least that many remodeling projects and reconstruction projects. And this is not the first solicitation of interest. I want to talk a little bit about the way this came before you tonight and how this is on the agenda. As you can see from the testimony tonight, virtually everybody, actually everybody that's testified is not in favor of this ordinance. And I would also encourage you to vote no on this ordinance and refer the issue back to Committee of the Whole for review or whatever committee needs to add parking as a requirement for building on city property. This came up several years ago. I was working with a partnership group that wanted to acquire and build downtown housing to help the city with its housing problem. We studied a lot of the properties that people referenced, looking at second and third stories to see if those would be buildable. And due to access, fire code, and other requirements, it seems that those would be more expensive than building something new, something fresh. And so we started looking at other possibilities that might be single-story uses of existing property downtown that might have possibilities for having second, third, or additional stories that could solve housing needs. And this property came up as a property of interest. At that time, we proposed a project 3 years ago. We made an application to the city. We paid a $500 fee, which was not returned or processed. Staff told us they were working out procedures to do something there, and you know there would be something, but in a year, really nothing had happened. They had a second or another RFP solicitation in 2015, and again, our partnership was the only applicant to apply. They said they would get back to us, but again, nothing happened for a year until 2016. In July of this year, CBJ requested another round of letters of interest and applications for negotiated sale. The result of that is a process that you have before you tonight. And I recognize that the staff recommended this other venture for a recommendation because they were asked to make a recommendation to the assembly based upon a real estate market appraisal. But I think market appraisals don't speak to community needs, community values as clearly as this group will or this group can, because they're looking at what's feasible in the market, and the market could find feasibility most likely with four stories of residential and one story of commercial. Ironically, in the appraisal, the word parking never came up because that's not feasible for the private sector to build parking structures. In fact, if you look around, there's very few places in the country where the private sector builds parking structures. With what I handed out, there's a couple of examples where communities similar to Juneau had a housing need, but they also had a parking need, and in those cases, the city stepped up to the plate and assisted with the parking solutions. And in many cases, those were combined with housing solutions. I think that's what we need here in Juneau. Our original proposal did include housing, or did include parking. We were able to talk to Alaska Housing Finance. They said they would finance one level of parking for us, but they included a quick footnote to say that it's much harder to finance a parking structure with a 30-year residential mortgage structure than it is some sort of longer-term financing through perhaps a municipal bond or some other solution that the city would have available to it. So, I think a real solution here, a community solution on this site, would involve not only a private sector solution for housing and possibly commercial, but it also needs a parking solution because it's simply used by too many people going too many places in this location. So that's what I'd encourage you to look at tonight is whether this proposal that looks at market value should go forward or whether community values are stronger and should go forward. Again, our proposal was to integrate housing and parking, a neighborhood solution, and that's still in our program. So again, I think you should vote no on the current ordinance and really look at parking solutions and housing as an integrated solution. I think solving one or the other in any site downtown is not the highest and best use. It might make a market test, but it wouldn't make a highest and best use test. In the thoughts of folks that have testified tonight and in my experience as a developer and builder in Juneau for many years, I think we need something that solves both in the same place at the same time. So look local first for solutions. I like that on the news, and I hear it about once every hour, and I hope that the community would, or that the assembly would look local first for solutions to housing before selling off downtown assets to out-of-town developers. Also in the back, a couple of articles on financing parking garages, what other communities have done to solve parking, and those have enabled very innovative housing solutions also. So I think both are appropriate. Thank you.
Ms. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for your work on this, Mr. Sunken. Thank you for your you sent us a letter today, too. And I had two questions. One is a quicker one, and I'll start with that one. And that is, you say that you, in the research you did, you found that over 300 units went out of service in the last 30 years. Can you tell me, what are you counting, roughly? I don't want every detail, but...
Virtually everything. When we started our research process, we went to community development and talked with some of the planners and just identified with some of the senior planners some of the units that have gone out of service. On this lot, for example, there was the Colonial Apartments that had 11 units, 52 from the Gastineau Apartments. The parking garage took down a few, the most recent parking garage took down some housing units. There was a number of units that were converted to office buildings or office uses, commercial uses that are no longer residential. There are many units that were rented in Front Street and Franklin Street areas on second and third stories. Those are mostly vacant these days. The theater, which also was that had 42 units. I remember going there when I first moved to town, and there's just been a lot of people that have even stopped me on the street and said, "Gee, I remember 30 years ago when we were working in the legislature. I used to be a legislative staff." And people complained about housing then, but they identified all these buildings that had been knocked down, and they said downtown isn't a fun, vibrant place that it was 30 years ago. So that's what motivated me strongly to want to bring back people and bring back a livelihood to downtown, and I think density is a good way to do that. Getting to 300 housing units, where are we going to build those? How are we going to build those? That's also going to, even at the 60% reduction, have 180 parking units required. Who's going to build those? I don't see that coming from, multifamily housing market solutions. It's more to it than that.
Right. Thank you for quantifying it. That's what it feels like, but I'd never personally gone and counted. And then regarding your proposal, did you have financing and all lined up for that? I mean, so your proposal wasn't included as part of our deliberations, right? We got Eagle Rock, and we've been talking about that. So does yours require any assistance from the city? Do you have financing? I mean, and I know I'm sure it's not all lined up because you don't have the property, but could you talk about that?
Sure.
Would build housing there with parking, and you would buy the lot for the same amount of money and build your thing. Is that what you're saying you could do?
Possibly. This was a solicitation for a letter of interest in developing the property for multifamily housing, and that's what we responded to. To carry that a point further and to answer your question, I did travel to Anchorage and talk to Alaska Housing. I looked at some conceptual plans for what this would be according to what the letter of interest was, approximately 40 units. And they said that they would be interested in financing it, and they could possibly finance minimal parking as required for the units, and quickly qualified that by saying that, you can't build many parking units on a 30-year mortgage for housing. You need longer-term financing and probably tax-exempt financing to make that work, because what we're looking at on this site from the city's feasibility study that was done several years ago about the parking structure is that approached $50,000 to $70,000 per parking space. Well, that doesn't amortize very well on a monthly income compared to virtually the same square footage, 300 square feet, which is what the apartments are that bring in 1,000, 1,200, or whatever they're going to bring in the market. Parking doesn't pencil, and parking dilutes the feasibility of a pure housing proposal in Alaska Housing's view. But they said that they would do what they had available at their disposal to try and make it work, because they want to do projects in downtown Juneau. They're well aware of our situation here, and they'd really like to get a project going in downtown.
Ms. Becker? Do you have a question?
No, I don't. I was looking, I thought there was something in here that told a different number for parking than the 50 or 60,000 less. And so I was trying to find it, but I didn't find it that quickly.
Sure.
Okay. Any further questions?
I'll just follow up with it. So you said two things, parking doesn't pencil, and then sort of like you would try. Is that what? So you can't say you could do it either.
No one has done it
right.
In this town. And no one has run all the way through the process with a project like this. So this is a first. And I'm glad on one hand that it's come to the point where housing and parking is what's kind of on the table, even though there's a proposal just for housing on the table. But no, we would have to go through the final test of feasibility. We would have to prepare the package to make that all work.
Yeah.
What I do like is that the city has already taken the initiative and developed some design concepts for a multi-story parking structure on this site, a three-story structure. And I think the community needs to seriously consider neighborhood parking structures, because if we're talking about the 300 units that went out of service, unless the city helps support parking for that 180 parking space requirement for 300 units, how is that going to get started? I don't know how it can happen if there's not either a housing and a solution for parking together. I think doing one or the other on the limited space we have downtown is not appropriate. I don't think it's the highest and best use. I think you need to have a mixed use, and I think you have to have both things serving the public in the downtown area.
So if you were partnering with AHFC, what demographic would you looking to target your renters?
Well, workforce housing, transient population. As I said, I worked for the legislature 30 years ago or some time ago, and that was a serious issue for people that come to town and work for a limited time. Most of those people can't sign a one-year lease, and most financing companies want one-year leases. They would like the place to be pre-leased with one-year leases, but it's a practical matter. That's not the market here. The city manager says, one of our big challenges in Juneau is that we have to solve problems in context. And I think this context of, you know, who is it for and how is it going to be and how are the numbers going to work is very, very important. But we would see renting for people that are looking for monthly rentals or for term rentals. I think there would probably be some people that would want to sign a year lease, and I think others that would have to rent on a month-to-month basis. So workforce housing, transient workers, people that want to and need to be downtown for business or work purposes, it would be housing for them. I know a lot of people that work in and out of Juneau that they're in town 2 weeks of the month, and the rest of the time they're gone. So maybe that would be appropriate for some people also. But I think the workforce housing is a huge thing that we really need to get going on soon, because I know that there are a number of businesses downtown that have changed their business plans simply because they couldn't find good places for their workers to live downtown. And so they lost workers to Portland and other places that are more walkable, livable communities. I think we can build that here.
Thank you. Thank you. I have one more person signed up, Ralph Gibby.
Good evening. My name is Ralph Kibbe. I reside at 1980 Hughes Way. Well, at least there's two new faces. Congratulations. Welcome, Mayor. I don't know that I'm for or against this, but there's the discussion that hasn't taken place in conjunction with the many studies and plans for the downtown core. I'm starting back in the early to mid-90s, The Assembly and the Planning Commission worked feverishly to try to figure out what we could do to be a better capital. We spent months and months working on rezoning, went through height restrictions, you name it. We took a really good look at what we're doing. And then in 2001, 2002, the Assembly appointed a downtown revitalization committee. On that committee was Barbara Scheinberg, Jeannie Johnson, Bill Corbis, Dave Palmer, and Carlton Smith. In the discussion for those 10 years that I was involved in city government, the discussion showed that the core for economic development in the Capitol campus was established from Telephone Hill to Gold Street, from First Street to Sixth Street. There's a memo that was presented to the Assembly outlining those objectives and identifying all the physical management actions that would lead to that. From what I'm hearing today and from what I've had discussions with some of you, is that was never part of the process or thought, and to borrow from Steve tonight, the highest and best use. Nowhere have we talked about the benefit of this to the Capitol campus. I think if I asked anything tonight, I would ask that this is delayed, tabled, or if it needs to be voted down until that discussion can take place. Because there's many, many ideas that floated around for this particular piece of property. And it was purchased at the recommendation of this group that I read to you to hold in abeyance for specifically the Civic, Cultural, and Economic Center of Juneau. I think that's extremely important. And I would ask, with all due respect, I know you've put a lot of time into this, and I know that people that own their own businesses, it's not easy to put a lot of money and time into something that may not come to fruition. I apologize wholeheartedly for not having been here a long time ago and having not kept my pulse on what's taking place in downtown. But it is our capital city of Alaska. Once this property's gone, we'll never get it back. There's nothing in the sale of this particular piece of property that identifies our desire for our capital campus. Some of the ideas have been presented tonight that I think would work, but we want to make sure that they're in concert with the Capitol campus. We don't want to lose sight of that. And I just wanted to make a comment about the fee in lieu of parking ordinance. It's my opinion and my memory that that was established around the businesses. We were not talking about residents at the time. And I'll have to go back through my notes to articulate that as a matter of fact. But tonight, I have no recollection of it to do with residential. We were talking about revitalization of downtown, an economic core of Juneau. And so this is a whole different plan than anything that I recall during that process. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Dibby. That brings us back to the ordinance. But Mr. Hanna?
Dave Hanna, 11495 Mendenhall Loop Road, and I'm probably going to wish I'd have worn my flak jacket, but I'm here to testify in favor of the proposal. I just wanted to be on record that I was actually part of the Affordable Housing Commission that unanimously voted to be in favor of this project. We thought the staff did a very thorough job when they reviewed it. In fact, I find it kind of ironic that the common theme you often hear around town is city planning staff just won't let you get anything done. But tonight, we have almost all the populace not wanting anything done and the city planning staff finding ways to say, yes, we can. I think it's the right project at the right time. We talked about downtown revitalization. This seems to exactly fit the bill. It's a first floor commercial. Businesses, shops, encourage more downtown business. The rest of it's all residential, and it appears to me, I could be wrong, but it appears to me it's targeting year-round residents, which is what we're looking for. We're looking for middle class or better year-round residents to revitalize downtown. So it seems to me that this is a good project. Yes, there are real issues with the parking. But as our manager said on the radio earlier, you can't solve every problem at once. Right now we're working on the housing problem. Next, we need to work on the parking problem. We actually had a pretty good partial solution to the parking problem a few years ago. Unfortunately, we got the wrong vendor for those machines. It's unfortunate they couldn't have been converted to some sort of pay and display like we have in Portland and many other communities. It works really well. It really helps solve the parking problem. Maybe we do need to build a parking structure. I've been involved with the construction of a couple different parking structures. I know how to lay out parking lots, and it's just my opinion, but I believe that that site is too small to build an economical parking structure. We need to look elsewhere. So I really feel for the people that are here testifying tonight against the project because, yes, there will be impacts, but I'm saying they're not impacts that can't be mitigated. So I speak in favor of it. Thank you.
Questions? Thank you, Mr. Hanna. Please, is there anyone else? Let me get back to the assembly then. Ms. White, Ms. Lyons.
Okay. Well, I guess the first thing I'd like to say is that I move that if this passes, which I will vote against, I move that we direct staff to bring back an ordinance providing for the transfer of the sale proceeds from the sale of this lot to a new CIP for parking that serves the downtown center business district, not meaning down over here in Willoughby, meaning where all these particular businesses are. If we're going to sell this, I want that money put aside immediately to work on a parking solution. But I'm still not in favor of selling it.
So we have two things going here.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have an objection to the direction that Ms. White is going so that we can move on to the ordinance?
I do only for the specificity of it. I think we are working on parking. The city manager has his committee working on parking to direct that it be towards a structure in that neighborhood. There are lots of that might not be possible, that there is a spot for that structure. We've done parking studies in the past, and that this lot was one of them. I'm in favor of working on parking. Don't get me wrong, but it sounded like you wanted to be put towards a fund to build a structure over there somewhere, and I would object to that. I don't object to putting it into a place to work on parking in general.
Ms. White?
I guess my concern is that, we've already got, we do have two parking garages downtown. The one that's closest to the neighborhood that would be impacted by another 30 some odd residential units putting in without any parking. That particular lot, I believe, is oversold on permits anyway. I think we'd kind of be in trouble if everybody that bought a permit to park there actually all showed up on the same day. And that's the area that needs parking. I wouldn't want to see those funds diverted to putting something in, say, the Centennial Hall parking lot or something like that. I would want to make sure that it targeted the neighborhood that would be impacted the most by the sale of this land. So,
Mr. Jones.
A question, I guess, for staff. My understanding was the Second and Franklin lot was by the hour pay. There weren't permits. Is that true or not true?
That's correct. So
Ms. White's comment about they're oversold on permits is not correct?
For that lot, that's correct.
Thank you.
For that particular lot, but I'm saying if they can't park in these 23 spaces that people use when they go to all these small businesses, they're going to be parking in the places that the residents of this neighborhood that is impacted, they're going to be parking it in their spots when they leave. And so, or they're just going to stop going to that business. I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, like the Franklin Street Barbershop, for example. I can think of plenty of people in my own family that aren't going to make an appointment to go get their hair done in a place where they're going to have to fight that hard to find a parking spot. And every study we have says that we're in an aging community. So you just basically, if people can't go pay by the hour to park in that parking lot to go get their hair cut, then they're going to go somewhere else. Eventually, sadly, that could put that barbershop out of business. So I'm just thinking, you know, if they can't use that parking lot, they're going to park on the street and keep the residents from being able to park there. So, you know, like I said, I'm not in favor of selling this piece of land anyway, but if we do, I'd like to see that money put aside for that upper neighborhood to come up with a parking solution that's for them. And I know that much money is not going to go very far towards building a parking garage.
Okay. There was a motion and a objection. Mr. Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I share the objection for being that specific. We had the parking issue, a variety of parking issues in front of us at the Committee of the Whole several months ago now. I'm trying to remember back, but I'm pretty sure that the decision of the group was that it was best to leave addressing the parking issue not to members of the Assembly, but to the manager. I'm trying to remember what side of that argument I was on. That's right. But let me say that we have a grant from the state of Alaska toward the next parking garage. It is like what we expect to get from this sale, not nearly enough to build a garage. It has a time limit on it. Because it's a grant in the state of Alaska. And if we start splitting out where this one has to go and that one has to go and planning two, we're going to get to zero in a hurry as we lose the grant, and this is $500,000. You'll hear me say this again later, but it's my neighborhood. It is damn tough to park. But I do think if we're going to look at building the next structured parking, I think we need to look at the efficiency. You know, I found the line Ms. Becker was referring to in something Mr. Sankson gave us. If you've got the flatter your lot and the bigger your garage, the less it costs you per space. If you can build an 800-spot garage in New Jersey, it's $21,000 a space, not 50 to 70. We don't have any flat spots downtown particularly, but if what staff comes up with in terms of the next garage is something that can have an economy of scale, maybe that comes with a circulator. Maybe that comes with building in the kind of infrastructure that lets more people live without cars. There are options and opportunities, and I just object to tying our hands too much on this. Much as I want to see some more help with parking in the neighborhood. So I would object to being quite that specific. I would not object to redirecting this money from the usual place it would normally go to lands fund, I'm fine with the idea of putting it into the parking CIP. That part doesn't bother me.
Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I was looking for clarification from Ms. White on her motion as well. You answered part of my question first was that you initially said structure, then you said solutions. And Mr. Keel has just now touched on this. Are you specifically speaking about downtown parking solutions?
Yes, but I want to make sure that it's not that direction, that it's this direction. I guess is the way to, you know, up there somewhere. But I mean, if I fail on that part, then I'm going to come right back and suggest that it be put towards parking. But that's my big thing here is I want to see it put towards parking. I'd really like to see it somewhere parking up on the hill where these people live and try to run their businesses. Because if it's over here, that's not going to help the barbershop. That's not going to help the little brewery. That's not going to, you know, the average age of people in this town is climbing every year. We've got a significant senior population. They're not going to walk 6-8 blocks to go get a haircut. They're not going to go 6 or 8 blocks to go to any business, for that matter. And once you allow all this development with no consideration to where the vehicles are going to go, you're going to crowd out the existing users. So we can try the motion with it saying for the center business district. If that doesn't work, then we can just say to parking, and maybe that'll work. But you know, I feel pretty strongly about this particular neighborhood, and it's not just because I use that parking lot. I mean, but if I have to do something in the northern part of or the uphill part of downtown, it's pretty much the only option for the vehicle I choose to drive. So,
Mr. Jones,
and I think that's the key: the vehicle you choose to drive. I happen to be 70. So I think I qualify for senior population. I oftentimes come into downtown via the bus because at age 70, I can ride it for free. I have no problem walking from the downtown center to the Capitol building. I don't see any problem doing that. Luckily, my wife cuts my hair, so I don't need the barbershop. But, you know, if people choose to drive vehicles that really don't fit in downtown, and there are a lot of us that can't walk, I will guarantee you that, but there are a lot of us that try very hard to keep mobile. I would support the going to the parking CIP, but to limit it to a hillside that has no flat land and come up with a parking solution, I think there are a lot of parking solutions. We can do like a lot of major cities do in residential areas. You can't park in a residential area unless you got a permit. And then the cops can tow immediately. It's not wait 2 weeks or 3 weeks. We can do lots of other options to open up the parking for residential for those people that live there. If it's the legislative staff that's parking up on East Street so the residents can't park, East Street should have a permit. You can park on that street only if you have a permit. Otherwise, you get towed. And a horrendous fine. There are all kinds of solutions that don't take up money, but if you're talking about any kind of parking structure or parking on an uphill, straight uphill, is not the place to put it. So I would object to this, and I think that if it went to a parking CIP, I could be more in support of that.
Can I answer that? Okay. I'm glad to hear that at 70 that you can do that. My thought is more like my mother-in-law, who is 83 and doesn't drive a big truck like I do. I'm thinking of a lot of people, and I'm glad that at 70 you still can, but think about where you might be in 10 or 12 years. So, thank you.
I'm hoping I'm still walking.
I hope so, too.
I think we'll be here.
Well, hopefully we're not going to be right here at this meeting, but it's starting to feel that way.
But I would like to, we have a motion on the floor. If someone wants to amend it to make more general, we're going to vote that up and down. And we'll vote on your motion, and then we're going to move on to the debate motion.
Okay.
Can we have the motion repeated?
Can I ask the maker of the motion to restate the motion, please?
Yes, I'll restate the motion. I move that if we sell this lot, if we move to sell the lot, which I guess in my motion it doesn't have to say, which I will vote against, we direct staff to bring back an ordinance providing for the transfer of sale of the proceeds of the sale of this property at 310 Second Street to a new CIP for parking that serves the central business district.
Okay. Is there any amendments? Maria?
I would amend it to thank you, Mr. Mayor, to say to the existing parking, is there an existing parking CIP, Mr. Manager?
I would recommend a new CIP in this instance.
Is there an existing one, though? I mean,
there is an existing CIP that would fund new kiosks if we were to go that direction. There is the CIP that Mr. Keel referenced with the state grant, which is targeted at the Willoughby District. If the intent is to look at downtown core business district, I'm going to call it the core business district, or parking issues that affect the neighborhood we're talking about, I'd recommend a new one. And maybe if I could speak just a little bit about CIPs and the CIP process. So I think you can bridge the gap here, and you're trying to foresee what might happen out of the discussions that come out of that CIP. So if the money was appropriated, it would be an iterative process between the assembly staff and public on what are the options, what could they cost, what are the consequences. And the assembly could heavily direct that effort towards options that met the need that you're talking about.
Okay, you have that puzzled look on your face.
Yeah, I'm not clear what downtown business district or whatever you said exactly means. Is there such a thing? You just mean downtown.
Wait a minute, Mr. Manager.
So I guess the clarification that you're struggling with is would the proceeds of the sale of this property be best utilized if a parking structure in the Willoughby District were the solution? I think that's the question that you're right. Not talking about directly. And if you want to do that, you certainly can look at that. If you want to look at options that are closer to this property, we can do that as well.
But I mean, there are many ways to solve this issue. I mean, there's a lot of parking management that can be done, neighborhood parking permits that can be done. There's the kiosks again. There's there is moving, solving the parking in other parts of downtown, and then those cars get moved to where they belong. Our problem has been short-term parkers parking in long-term spots, moving them around. If we can get those all-day parkers elsewhere, it alleviates the problem that's here. So there are lots of ways to affect what happens in this neighborhood. I think there needs to be a broader look and not just looking at these five blocks or however many blocks it is, because you can solve that possibly inexpensively with a lot of different solutions if you would broaden your horizon. And so my motion would be to to make it to be a CIP to solve parking in the downtown core by whatever means possible.
In the downtown
core, period. Stop there. I'm being directed to stop there.
Wait a minute. We have a motion that has been amended. The discussion should be directed towards the amendment by Ms. Fladcheski.
I don't know. It might be to go to, I want to ask the manager something.
Certainly.
When I asked that staff look at parking after the North Franklin lot motion failed last time, I got something from you, and I'm not sure everyone did. I don't even know where I got it, and I wish I could find it. But it seems to me that you said you had started a committee, right? And I don't know where that is, and I don't know what kind of money that's requiring, and if that's already a fund or a CIP or something that you're using, we might consider putting this money into that if that's where you think you're going to use it.
Ms. Becker, what I suggested to the Committee of the Whole was formation of an ad hoc committee to work on parking management issues. And actually the first step, which I'd hoped would have happened sooner, but I got behind the AML and Thanksgiving holidays, is going to be this Friday. The Downtown Improvement Group is going to be kind of a kickoff ad hoc parking committee, and it's my hopes that the DIG format will take on this parking management as a project, and we'll work through those issues with lots of community input. And as others have alluded to, there are many things that you can do that affect parking. But for the time being, I would say funds are not required for that effort. As just a point of clarification, I want to make sure the Assembly and the public understands timing and sequence and the effect of this ordinance on the development proposal. So the ordinance would authorize the manager to enter into a sales agreement to the developer. Once the developer sees that the Assembly has given him the opportunity to buy the property, he would then spend money on architects and permitting and come up with a project and go through that process. He has told us that if he can't get a project permitted that meets his business model, he doesn't have any interest in buying the property. So what you likely would see in the short run would be a developer spending their funds, developing a project, going through the public process, a continued use by the city of the surface parking, and then perhaps execution of a sale approximately 6 months from now. So I just wanted to be clear about the timing of money and the specificity of the project that we don't have today. And you've had comment from the public about the fee in lieu. So fee in lieu is a section of code that exists for all developers in the district, including this. And it absolutely applies to both commercial and residential uses. In the ordinance that the Assembly passed in 2006, in fact, it made the fee for residential uses half of what it is for commercial uses. And the intent was to try and give inducements for the development of housing. And just for a little bit more context, and there's really, the story never starts or stops, but the Assembly passed the fee in lieu ordinance after the voters had committed to funding the construction of the Downtown Transportation Center garage. So once the voters had approved the garage and we could see that we were building a new structure that would add about 200 parking spaces to our parking supply, the next step that the Assembly took to spur development and specifically housing was to pass the fee in lieu ordinance. And we've seen a very modest amount of development from that fee in lieu ordinance. So in the 10 years the fee in lieu ordinance has been on the books, there have been four projects netting about 22 parking spaces. In fact, one of them was mentioned by one or two of the testifiers, the Trip Commercial Building, which has the Saffron Restaurant, used the fee in lieu ordinance, and there were three other projects as well. It's a rather long answer to a short question.
Yes, it was. Ms. Vlachowski, will you please restate your amendment to the main motion?
My amendment to the main motion is to wherever Ms. White had her words about where the geography is, I would amend that to be in the downtown core.
Is that what you said?
I believe so, Mr. Mayor. That a CIP would be established for parking in the downtown core.
All right.
Parking solutions in the downtown core.
Is there objection to the amendment? Ms. White.
Yes. Yes. I still want to see it east of Main Street. And yes, there's places it could be done.
All right. Will the clerk please call the roll if there's no further discussion?
Okay. Roll call on the amendment. Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. White?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Mayor Kelsch?
No.
Motion carries, 7-2.
We are back to the main motion as amended. Will you please read the motion, Ms. White?
Okay. So, let me see. I move that if we do vote to sell the lot, we direct staff to bring back an ordinance providing for the transfer of the sale proceeds from the sale of this property to a new CIP for parking that serves the downtown district.
Is that
parking solutions in the downtown core?
Or parking solutions in the downtown core. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Is there consensus that that is the motion at this time as amended? Good. Further discussion? Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to propose an amendment to the newly amended motion that 5% of the sale proceeds from this property go into the Affordable Housing Fund.
Okay.
In addition to the other.
You moved it, so you have first right of discussion.
I believe that the Affordable Housing Fund is a tool that is currently underutilized in our community, and that in order for our community to continue to make changes to solve our housing shortage and the high cost of housing in this community, that we need to consider any sale of city property that occurs and that a portion of those proceeds go into the Affordable Housing Fund, and that this is a prime opportunity to start building that fund.
Further discussion. The motion can be amended twice, so you are where.
I will object to the amendment.
Okay. Ian, would you like to?
Sure. I think we've gone around the axle on this several times, and the main issue has been parking versus housing. And I think we're trying to come up with some alternatives around the parking. Putting this 5% in the Affordable Housing Fund does no solution for either. So I will object.
Further discussion to the amendment? Ms. Bouchard.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. Just a question. What is the Affordable Housing Fund now? Is there money in it? Mr. Gregory, anybody know?
Mr. Mayor, I don't have the numbers at my fingertips, but the fund has a balance that is $390,000, and there have been some activities that are working using funds from it, like the mobile home down payment assistance, the accessory apartment subsidy. And my intent is to have Mr. Chambor provide housing program options to be considered by the Assembly during the CIP discussions. So if you want to fund housing programs, that would be the time. And I would agree with Mr. Gregory, and I think Mr. Chambor would also heartily agree that the fund has been underutilized. So it received a one-time infusion of funds about 5 years ago, I'm going to say. More. Six.
Further discussion? Please restate the motion as amended, or please restate the amendment to the motion.
The amendment to the motion is that 5% of the proceeds of the sale of the North Franklin lot that's in discussion would go into the Affordable Housing Fund.
Okay. Will you call the roll, please?
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Weldon?
No.
Ms. White?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Mayor Kels?
Yes.
Motion fails.
We are back to the main motion as amended. Are you ready for the question? Please restate the main motion as amended.
Didn't you? Oh. Is Lori going to do it this time, or you want me to do it again?
I could try.
Madam Clerk?
Mm-hmm. I'm getting lost. Okay. The motion is that if the Assembly votes to sell this lot, that an ordinance is returned to the Assembly that the proceeds of the sale are returned to a new CIP for parking solutions in the downtown core.
Good job. Good job.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, the motion carried. I'm afraid to ask you to move this other motion. Are you ready to move it this way?
Sure. I don't even have the number in front of me now. I've had some windows open. Okay. I move that Assembly pass ordinance 2016-40. And I'm
39.
Or 39. Boy, I was in a hurry. I was trying to get out of here. 39B. I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong one. 2016-39B. But I am going to object to its passage.
Discussion. Mr. Nantur.
Thanks. I'd like to offer an amendment.
Good deal.
Oh, I'm feeling left out here.
Oh, my goodness.
I have no more paper here.
But. All right, page 2 of 2 on the ordinance. My amendment would be to add to that section 3 another section that we could label E, a subsection that requires as a minimum term of the purchase and sale agreement that a condition that Eagle Rock Ventures develop the property in accordance with its June 13, 2016 proposal to build affordable workforce housing. So that would be a fifth condition of the sale. I'll state that again. As a minimum term of the purchase and sale agreement, a condition that Eagle Rock Ventures develop the property in accordance with its June 13, 2016 proposal to build affordable workforce housing.
You have it written down?
Of course I do.
Would you
like to pass it to the clerk, please. Discussion, Ms. Bladyshevsky.
Yes, I'd like to talk about the word affordable, Mr. Nankervis. That often means something very specific in this context. And I wish your motion just said workforce housing for that reason. And is there a reason you want that word in there? Because it often means percentage of income and various technical things.
Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you. My response to that would be that was the way they had phrased it. But I am fine with leaving affordable out of there and just make it workforce housing.
Thank you.
Is that a friendly amendment, Ms. Nankervis?
A friendly amendment to my own amendment?
Yes. That's how it goes. All right. So affordable is out of there. Further discussion? Mr.
Just a question for clarification. When I look through their response to the letters of interest, I see one that was dated July 28. What was the June 13 one? I apologize.
Madam Attorney, you still have that with you?
That was the date of their written proposal. According to another packet that I pulled that date from, but I think they've only submitted one proposal.
Further questions or clarification? Is there objection to the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment is accepted. We're back to the main motion as amended. Is there a discussion? Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am referring to page 202 of the ordinance, section B, and it says that Eagle Rock Ventures shall be required to purchase title insurance and pay half of all closing costs and recording costs. And I would like to amend that section to say that they pay for all closing and recording costs.
And do you wish to speak to your amendment?
Yes. Given most home purchases, the buyer ends up paying all closing costs. And at least in the case of when I purchased my home, I ended up paying all closing costs. And so it's my understanding that that would be a reasonable request.
I'm looking for any clarification, questions, or objections.
Mr. Mayor, just a question, and I know we have Lands and Resources staff here. I mean, do we have a standard form agreement that we do? Are these all subject to negotiations? Where did I hate to say I'm pretty sure, Mr. Gregory, I bought my house before yours. I'm sure the tradition was different when I bought mine, and I think I split it with the seller. So what's our city's practice, and where does it come from?
Well, I think I'm getting two answers. So there is a standard form, but Mr. Blydorn is indicating that we have...
We do not have a standard sales and purchase agreement. In fact, we don't do this very often, and we are making one up as we speak in the law department. So there is not a standard practice that I'm aware of that we have used in the last 7 years.
Follow-up.
Please, Ms. White.
Thank you. I think the ordinance under which the rule under which this is in front of us is a negotiated sale. Is this a negotiated term that we've come up with? Is this something people have sat down at the table and figured out? I'm good at sticking my nose in all kinds of places. Am I sticking it where it doesn't belong here?
Mr. Mayor, if I could speak to that. So this, in answer to Mr. Keel's question, it's been a long process to look at the sale of this property, and it hasn't strictly adhered to the narrow requirements of the code. In the sense it hasn't taken the shortest path to the code. And I say that because we had interest at the Lands Committee to get letters of interest rather than proceed directly to something like sale to highest bidder or sale directly to somebody coming in the door asking to buy the property. So we've made the process longer ourselves. At the end of the day, it is a negotiated sale, so the sale would be negotiated for fair market value to the seller. I think in terms of closing and recording costs, I'm not sure if they proposed that or we proposed that. I mean, we're trying to get a housing project, and it did not seem like an whether we proposed it or they did not seem like an unreasonable idea to split this cost. And as a percentage of the project, I don't know that that drives the decision.
Ms. White?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So as somebody who actually works with real estate contracts every day, I can tell you that closing costs are negotiated. They vary on what's typical of who pays what, depending on what your market is doing at that given moment in time. There are exceptions to that rule. I'm working on one deal that's through a government agency that Mr. Watt is familiar with what's going on with that. In that particular case, the buyer does have to because that's their policy. If you buy a property that has been repossessed, generally it depends upon the market, but at given times they might say that they'll pay owner's title insurance and nothing else. So it's pretty typical. I mean, it's one of those things that always varies. I mean, this is what we've put out there. This is what Eagle Rock Ventures already knows that we've put out there, that this is what we're proposing to be the split and closing costs. And we're already changing things up a little bit on them as it is. So I don't think that even though I'm still not in favor of selling the property, I don't think it's a time to adjust what we've already told them to expect from the process. Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment. Is there objection to the amendment? Okay. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Weldon?
No.
Ms. White?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
No.
Ms. Hill?
Maybe Mr. Mayor?
We are back to the main motion as amended several times. Is there further discussion or amendments? Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Despite the long history of this lot, going back to, I think, what Mr. Kibbe was talking about in 2002 versus the first time this was brought before a committee in April of 14, it's been a long discussion about that particular lot. The city bought it, tore down the housing, tore down the businesses that were there with some idea in mind. It is now 14 years later, and we've been discussing one alternative for that land for the last 2.5 years. There were several of us that were very supportive of selling this land back in April of 14. In my opinion, the lands division got in the middle of it, started putting demands on the development that killed it. We asked them to do it again. They didn't do it. They hired somebody to look at long-term lease. That failed. We wouldn't be having this discussion if somehow we had moved forward in April of 14. Given all of that, and my real desire to sell this property back then, and my desire now, I've given this a lot of thought, and there's so many good points on both sides, but I think I'm going to err on the side of wanting housing, to err on the side that we can come up with some solutions to parking in the downtown area. At the same time, recognizing that once we sell the property, if it's negotiated, if the permitting process goes through and an actual purchase occurs, that property is no longer the city property. At some level, we have no control over it. It will bring in property tax revenue. And I think that all in all, this is a sale that should have occurred 2 years ago, even 2.5 years ago. We are here because we allowed all of this delay. And it's time that we rectified that. So I am going to vote in favor of the motion.
Further discussion. I am going to vote against this motion. My reasoning is that in 2002, 2003, we spent a great deal of time on an assembly plan to provide parking in North Franklin area. We purchased this for parking. We purchased it with the idea of building up parking in that area. When it became too expensive to do, cost-wise, compared to other things, we did not go any further and explore areas that in that area that still could be accessed with parking. Star Hill and the rest of that area is a very historical part of this town, and I think we need to put the parking up there. We will not do it if we continuously sell off parking. We have several young entrepreneurs coming in, the pot shop, the brewery, the distillery, other places along that North Franklin that we should be supporting, and this to me takes away a lot of that support. We have a whole series of small businesses across from that parking lot that don't have the luxury of street parking because there's just not enough of it. We have the Baranoff that late night users use that lot to access the Baranoff also. I don't feel comfortable with how we arrived at one particular, I guess, consumer for our parking lot. And so that's the reason I'm going to be voting against it and urge that you consider voting against it also. Further discussion? Mr. Jones.
Just one comment. At least from the picture in the newspaper, it appeared that the pot shop had no problem attracting a line out and around the block with our current parking, and I doubt that they paid for the parking in the second Franklin lot. I could be mistaken, but I doubt that they paid for it.
Any further discussion? Ms. Spadafore.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to speak in favor of this. There's a lot of competing concerns. Our job as an assembly is to try to do the best for the most people. We've been talking about housing as an assembly for decades. And we always hear what one of our testifiers said, that the city should sell off property and get out of the way. I don't think we should get out of the way particularly, but we've heard that parking doesn't pencil. We've lost 300 housing units downtown in the last 30 years and gained hundreds of parking spaces. We have two. We now have two parking garages, 200 spaces in the new garage. So I guess people must have more cars because there's fewer people living downtown, yet we continue to hear about parking. If you pull off the minutes of any assembly meeting for the last four decades, which I've been sitting waiting for a meeting once, pulled off a shelf, 1967, they were talking about parking. So it's not an issue that's new. But we're talking about downtown vitality. We lost many units in the Gastineau fire. We need people to be living downtown, and I have confidence that we can continue to work on parking management, other solutions, and you know we did build a 200 space garage recently. It's really just a couple blocks from here. So all in all, even though I understand the concerns of the neighborhood and I know it's hard to find parking, I think. Housing. We need people living downtown. It is a little bit frightening walking around downtown later at night, and there's not people that live there. There's people that are at establishments eating and drinking, but it would be nice to see more people living downtown. So, in the end, I'm gonna vote in favor of this.
Any further discussion?
I'm just going to give my opinion. I'm not going to vote for it. I asked for parking, some parking, to be investigated, and I didn't. There were no suggestions. And if we can't come up with suggestions in order to get this North Franklin parking lot to be voted on by the total assembly, then I'm not too sure what difference it will make. When we sell it, there's not going to be the pressure. Even though we did pass this other, I don't think the pressure will be there. I just don't think we need to give up parking. I don't want to penalize the people who have businesses around there in order to have this group come in and build. And we have a potential of losing, if we took the total of everybody needing parking, 58 parking places. I mean, it's not just the 23, or not just the 35, it's the 23 that's there now. So I just can't see us doing this. Maybe we'll work it out some other time, but right now I'm not in favor of it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is there objection to the motion?
Object?
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've been continuing to wrestle with this one, and I've been having a lot of conversations with my neighbors and more this afternoon and into the evening. As I mentioned earlier, this one's my hood, and I'm in one of those historic houses. I think when it was sold to me, they said it was built in 1895. I have a neighbor who likes historical research. Turns out that was not true. 1897. I know. Once I got over the disappointment, though, I started to grapple with other things. Because my wife and I bought that house as a young couple. And it doesn't have a parking space. So we are among those who jockey for the on-street parking in a very tight downtown neighborhood where the streets weren't originally laid out with cars in mind, and parking is every bit as bad as folks have described it tonight. Nobody has yet exaggerated in their testimony. Then, like so many fool young couples, we went and had a couple kids. And I have to tell you that living in that neighborhood with a couple of toddlers and a couple of bags of groceries, when the snow falls and... Sorry, I'm going to rat out a few of you, not by name, but not everyone shovels their sidewalks. And there's an event at the building across the hall, and there's no place to park within blocks and blocks, and I had to go down and park near Joni's place, two blocks over, three blocks down. That is not an enjoyable walk home. I'm here to tell you. On the other hand, we're still in our house because we love living downtown. We love walking to work and to the downtown library, and on nights when it's not quite this contentious, I like walking here. And the difficult and ugly reality is that we will never, ever, ever solve parking. Because as this proposal and other proposals have come up, I have done a lot of reading, and parking demand is like use of fossil fuel in the developing world. When people make a little more money, they use more fossil fuels. And when things go bad and people are making less money, they cut back somewhere else. And it's the same with parking. When we build 200 new units in a garage, more people drive their own car. And when parking units go away or more housing comes in, people don't drive any less in their own cars. The only thing that affects it is when you get up to Manhattan-level prices for a parking spot, where literally a parking spot makes rent in Juneau look cheap. God willing, we never get there, but we are tonight, I think, balancing between bad problems and worse problems. And Ms. Gladyszewski talked about how badly we need housing. I have a friend who used to own a restaurant downtown, kind of specialized in lunch. And when a national chain fast service place specializing in lunch opened up a block away, I said, "Whew, that's got to be awful." Surprised the heck out of me. He said, "I think it's great because it means things are going on downtown and people are coming downtown and people are buying lunch and they're going out. We'll compete a little bit, but we'll both be better off." Floored me. But he was right. And so when Ms. Gladyszewski talks about how badly we need people living downtown, I think she's right. You know, my kids walked to the library when they were little, and they can walk to the library now, and they don't need the folks with them. But now they're passing more doorways that need somebody else's eyes nearby. That's happening. Will it get a little better with housing first? Yes. Will it get a lot better if there are just more neighbors around watching out for each other? I think that's what's going to make a difference. 35 units are not going to change it overnight. Neither are 36 housing first units. When you put it together, I think you start to see real improvements in the neighborhood. And that, I think, really gets us moving in the right direction. I think there are more opportunities for redevelopment. I am thrilled beyond words with the businesses that are growing downtown. I prefer the Spirit District to the Vice Street as a name, but I think that growth is tremendous, and I think it will draw people downtown, and I'll be darned if it's not going to push more parking near my house, and I will grapple with that because I don't have a driveway or a garage. And that part's going to stink. I know that city staff has reached out to the state to try and partner up and build a parking garage on this site along with a state lot adjacent over the years. It's not just the folks in charge of the state right now. They've never met a willing partner. The chances for a parking garage to serve the area on that spot, I don't give them any odds. We've tried. So this is not by any remote stretch an easy one. But as a very wise person said to me once, I think we're upgrading our problem here. We have a god-awful problem with housing and a bad problem with parking. If we can go from god-awful and bad to just bad, we've moved Juneau forward. So I would ask everyone to please join me in voting yes on this.
Mr. Nantz-Kervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was going to say something, but Mr. Keel used up all the oxygen, so I'm just going to call for the question.
You don't need to call for the question. We can go ahead and, because that will take a little bit longer. Are you ready to vote on the motion as amended? Will the clerk read the motion as amended?
To adopt ordinance 2015-39B as amended. With section 3 of ordinance 2639B by adding a new subsection to require as a minimum term of the purchase and sale agreement a condition that Eagle Rock Ventures develop the property in accordance with its June 13, 2016 proposal to build workforce housing.
There's another amendment also. Oh, that was a separate one. You're right. Okay. So we just have that one. The other ones are gone. Is there objection?
Yes, object.
Okay, please call the roll.
Mr. Nantz-Kervis?
Yes.
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. White?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
No.
Motion carries.
Okay, we're going to take a 5-minute break. We'll be back at 10:30 to 10:30.
And you are tuned to KTOO Juneau. The time is 10:22. The weather for tonight calls for rain mainly after midnight, low around 34, and tomorrow rain high near 43. We've been listening to the CBJ Assembly meeting, and they are currently going to take a break until 10:30.
ordinance 2016-40, an ordinance authorizing support director to lease Track A of Alaska Tideline Survey 1670 to Angoon Trading Company, Incorporated.
Mr. Manager.
CBJ Dockson Harbor.
I'm ready.
Dockson Harbor proposes entering into a new 35-year lease with Angoon Trading Company for ATS Survey 1670, located on Channel Drive. Property is appraised at 10 cents per square foot with an effective date of August 13, 2015. In October 2016, Dockson Harbor's board recommended assembly approve a new 35-year lease for $63.59.80 per year. Lands Committee reviewed and recommended approval of the lease at its October 31st meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there any public comment? Seeing none, that brings us to assembly action. Ms. Wanishewski.
I would move ordinance 2016-40 and ask you for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, the ordinance passed. Ordinance 2016-42, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending non-code ordinance 2016-34, authorizing the port director to lease Alaska Tideline Survey 33 to Andrews Marina, Incorporated, to correct the initial annual rent amount.
Mr. Manager?
Mr. Mayor, this ordinance would amend an ordinance previously adopted to make a minor correction to a lease amount. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there any public testimony? Seeing none, Ms. Weldon.
I move we adopt ordinance 2016-42 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, the ordinance is approved. Unfinished business, there is none. New business, bid results, BE 17-137, Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, we have the bid award in front of you, and we would like to do this due to timing issues to give the contractor the ability to order materials as early as possible, and I'd be happy to answer any questions on the topic.
Is there any public comment? Does there need to be? Mr. Gregory, seeing how it's under new business, would you like to move this place?
Mr. Mayor, thank you. I move to adopt. Thank you. Pardon me. I move to adopt CBJ contract number BE17-137 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? So moved. Staff report.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Assembly reports. Mayor's report. Here is the draft agenda for Saturday.
On the beach.
On the beach, please. Our retreat is Saturday, December 3rd, in the assembly chambers, beginning at 9 a.m. promptly. You may get here ahead of time. In preparation, I would ask that you revisit the prior assembly goals. That will be the second page that you receive. Has everyone received the second page?
Okay. Are you sure it was?
You should have received an agenda and
that's
goals.
What I need.
Mr. Gregory, you're down at the end. Did you receive both?
Yes, sir, I did. Thank you.
Good. Please review them and get back to me. Close the business Thursday at the latest with your
top 10 ranked actionable goals from prior years, one being the highest, 10 being the lowest, and also topics for the assembly good of the order as we go down through the rankings. We have assembly good of the order, and that is anything that you would like to discuss. For instance, if you think that the assembly should be working on with the finance department accepting credit cards, maybe that's something that we want to talk about. First part was the goals, and I look at 2017 much the same way we approached our finances this year, and that is taking a year to look at getting our house in order. We have a very idealistic set of goals for 2016-2017, and I think we can build on what we have and add to it as we need to. So that's what I hope to do. Set up the time from 9 to 10 on goal setting. From 10:15 to 10:30, projects already underway. We'll be getting a brief update on those. 10:30 to 10:45, finance overview and timing of assembly decisions. 11 o'clock to 12:15, the assembly good of the order. 12:15, a short recess to move into executive session. And 12:30 to 1:30, an executive session, working lunch with our city manager. I have no doubt, after dealing with the agenda tonight, that we will stay on time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just the second page, thank you for putting this together. It's some great stuff. The second page is called Assembly Goals 2016-2021. For the December 2016 retreat. So is this just a repackaging of our last year's goals, or is this something new? Because it looks new.
It's repackaged.
But it's the same things, it's the things that we adopted last year, only in a different spreadsheet?
If I might. Essentially, I think the answer to that question is yes. I don't know that there was ever a truly formal document that came out of last year's retreat that you all ended up approving. This really ended up being what was from the year before and what was still in action. So that's kind of a long-winded answer, but yes, essentially so. And things have been moved around just a little bit to fit into the categories, and where they were duplicative, because in some they were under more than one heading, it was the same item. I just put them in the one that seemed to be the stronger fit so that we weren't looking at
So these are
more.
Proposed. This is some proposal? Assembly never adopted these?
No, if I might, let me see if I can reframe that for you. This is essentially identical to what you have in your blue binders from last year. And the only real change is the status has been updated, and it looks a little bit different to fit into the primary categories that were identified during last year's retreat.
So still, the title says these are things we're doing from 2016 to 2021. Should it not say, as adopted by the Assembly, ex date 2015? I'm just...
Sure. That would be a better maybe. I did revise 2015 to 2016 because it is 2016. So yes, maybe the dates could be slightly misleading, but the substantive content is the same. Is that helpful?
I'm just trying.
Did you adopt these last year?
I'm asking. That's what I'm asking. Did we adopt these?
Yes, I think the answer to that is yes, or at least it was presented. It is in your binders as your assembly goals and priorities.
The same thing that's on the city website, just missing the bar column.
Okay. It's the same thing that's on this website already?
Yeah.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Last year, after we discussed this, at the end of that discussion time, we just agreed to continue with the goals from the previous year. So maybe we didn't say, let's adopt the goals, but it was a continuing, which I guess is a type of adoption. So.
Okay, so if you will, this is what we adopted basically last year.
We continued
the ones from the previous year.
Yes, that is my understanding.
So again, the title on this, I think, is not quite as accurate as it could be.
Okay.
It
well,
looks
I'm
like we've done it already. Doesn't it?
Well, we did because we said we're going to continue. So that was like an adoption. I don't know if we said the word adoption. But
okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? So I'm asking you to do two things to make this move faster, and that is to rank them top 10, 1 to 10, and also send me any topics you would like to add for the good of the order and for the doctor. Any questions? Good. Am I hearing pounding, or is it just my head?
I am. I'm drumming. Excuse me.
Oh. All right. Let's go to Lauren, because I think we better do the human resources while we have time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met at 5:30 tonight. Prior to the assembly, we had three items basically to deal with. The Building Code Advisory Committee, we had a written annual report. Nobody came to testify. We had one vacancy, and the Human Resources Committee is recommending the reappointment of Patrick Gorman to the Building Code Advisory Committee with a term to expire November 30, 2019.
Is there any objection? So approved.
We also had the one appointment to the Juneau Affordable Housing Commission. Due to Mr. Gregory's election, we have one vacancy. We had four applicants, and Mr. Gregory did not sit in on this as a check with the attorney and a conflict. And the committee is recommending the appointment of Frank Bergstrom to a term expiring January 31st, 2020.
Is there any objection? Nomination is accepted.
Then we also had an annual report from the Local Emergency Planning Committee, which you can read in your packet. Dan Garcia did a little bit of a lengthy presentation on it, but it was very interesting. And as such, also in your packet is a memo that lists all of the various seats on the Local Emergency Planning Commission. I will read them to you, and you can look in your packet to determine what the seat numbers really are. But we had Ed Quinto to be appointed to seat 3, and Captain Todd Cameron to seat 3A. 3A would be the alternative, and those are CCFR appointments. Martha Palicka as seat 5A, which is the alternative for Bartlett Regional Hospital. Seat 7 was Andrew Bogar, that is the Red Cross seat. 7A to Norman Wagoner Jr., which is the alternative to the Red Cross seat. Number 11, seat 11 is vulnerable populations, and the appointment would be for Suzanne Dutson. And 11A is the alternate for Jason Burke. All of these terms would expire on 12/31/19, and that is the motion from the Human Resources Committee.
Is there any objection? The motion carries.
And then just one final comment. On December 8th, a Thursday, at 5 o'clock, the Human Resources Committee will meet as a committee of the whole to review the one vacancy on the Aquatics Board, three vacancies on Bartlett Regional Hospital, and three vacancies on the Planning Commission. To date, we have two new applicants for the Aquatics Board and two that have previously applied. For Bartlett, we currently have one new application and five on file, so we don't know how many of those five are still interested. And for the Planning Commission, We have one incumbent applying. We have seven new applications, and we have three from a previous term. So we will have probably at least two, seven, eight, probably have a dozen interviews to do that night. So plan on a rather lengthy discussion on December 8th. And with that, that's the human resources report.
And again, starting at what time, Mr. Jones?
5 o'clock, December 8th.
Madam Clerk, will you make sure that you send that out tomorrow so that the bold letters so that we put it on our calendars? All right. And Madam Attorney,
yes.
We have to have a supermajority to go past 11.
Yes.
So, committee and liaison reports. Does anyone else have a committee and liaison report that needs to be made at the present moment?
Public Works has some kind of important things, but I know that it has to be. We have to have the...
Anything that we need to deal with tonight, or we can...
No, we have a... We're going to forward an appropriation ordinance.
Just okay. A presiding officer thing?
Yeah, we will get there.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. Ms. Becker?
No, I don't think there's anything that we have to talk about.
Okay. Presiding officer reports, Ms. Glashevsky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just one note for everyone. The Olmo appeal is set for December 14th. And this is what the paper packet looks like. If you want one, please let the clerks know. Otherwise, you can read it online. This is how big it is. And so she wants to know if you want a paper copy.
How many of you want a paper copy? One, two.
If you tell me what it is, I'll give it to you.
The Olmo appeal.
Oh.
Appeal. There's about 300 pages.
So there's at least four? Who does not want one? One, two.
I'm making up my mind.
I haven't started to read it yet, so how easy it is to read online will determine that for me.
Okay. Thank you.
So make up at least six. Mr. Jones.
Presiding officer report, the Meek hearing is set for 12:19 at 5 p.m. The last brief is due December 9th, so shortly thereafter it will be available online. And again, the same process. If you want a printed copy, get a hold of the clerk. If you don't, it'll be available online. And the other presiding officer I have is the Nestler appeal, and that currently is set for the 27th of February at 5 p.m.
So we have December 8th at 5 p.m., correct, for the
HRC.
The 14th at what time?
5 p.m.
And the 19th at what time?
5 p.m.
Okay, and you'll get that out to us so that we don't go silly and do anything else. All right. So we're down to assembly comments and questions. Mr. Jones.
At the risk of lengthening the process tonight, I had a couple of comments. One is we spent a lot of time on whether the housing plan should be part of the comp plan. And in looking at all of those on the comp plan, which I have defended in the past, I guess I would like to request that staff look at all of those plans. Many of those were adopted in the 80s, 70s. Some are just chapters. One is the coastal management. I don't know if that's still in effect, given that the feds did away with theirs. And I guess I would just like some update on all of those plans that are in there and whether or not they're still valuable or whether we need to look at replacing those. I realize there's 14 or 15. I'm in there. I'm not looking for anything tomorrow. You know, February would be fine, Mr. Manager. And the second issue is at our last meeting, we did have a letter from Bruce Patello urging us to look at school zone area or lowering the speed limit near the turn into the Ock Bay campus. It wasn't brought up at the time. I realize that's probably a state highway. We probably can't mandate that we do a school zone with flashing lights and things, but there are some issues there, and I guess at some point, probably January, some kind of report back on what might be possible. I know we talked about it with the roundabout. DOT basically came in and said, we'll set the speed limit the way we want it, and goodbye. So, but I just wanted to raise it to see if there was any possibility that at least maybe that there might be a little bit better way to protect the students walking across the highway.
Just very briefly, I'd ask Mr. Healy to get DOT representative to come to Public Works and Facilities and speak to that question.
Okay. Well, hope I get to that committee. But thank you. And that was my two issues tonight, Mr. Mayor.
Anyone else have issues?
Oh, you just asked about those issues. I got lots of those, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Mr. Quayle.
We addressed earlier William Quayle in 415 Willoughby, number 305. We addressed on the seasonal rentals. One of the reasons why our rent's so bad is because the state legislature reimburses the legislature like $2,300. I suggest that the city, this affects the city directly. They send a strong letter to the legislature that they lower the reimbursement to $800. Now, there's a good reason why, because that what that does is it gets it so the landlords cannot get reimbursed that money. So they have to go on an annual basis. There's no more seasonal rentals. Number two, is this, you might want to do this on an exploratory basis. It's a voluntary rent reduction, okay? It's incentive. If a landlord lowers their rent a whole solid year, 10%, the city will lower their rent. Their property tax 10%. Now I consider it insurance, okay? Because what you're doing is you're making sure that you can get your property tax for 10%. Okay? In a way, every dollar you don't tax in the public goes through the economy five times. So you have $5 goes through the economy. And the way you can take care of that, the initial shock, which I suggested before when I was running, is during the winter you can start charging for selling water during the winter.
Okay. You have anything further because your time's up?
Okay. No, it's fine.
Okay. Any questions?
Thanks,
Mr.
Brown. Oh, that was fun.
Sorry, Mila. Oh, poor Mila.
Executive session. Here, before we go into this, do we have to come out of executive session and extend?
You need to extend. And for now. Yeah, I would extend now. Unless your executive session is going to be 4 minutes or less.
Uh-huh. Is our executive session going to be 4 minutes or less?
I'm afraid not.
All right. So, Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly suspend the rule relating to our adjournment time for the purposes of this meeting, extending no later than 11:30 p.m., and ask for unanimous consent.
There is objection. Please call the roll. We need 6 out of 9, correct?
Can you tell me what the executive session is about?
Can we hear the objection?
Wait. Let's pull the bus back. What's your objection?
My objection is to extending the time limit past 11.
Because?
I'm tired.
Okay.
And I'm hungry.
Now, there was an objection. I don't think we need discussion on this. But we do need 6 out of 9. Madam Clerk?
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Mr. Kiltz?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the Assembly recess into executive session to discuss a matter the immediate knowledge of which would adversely affect the finances of the City and Borough of Juneau, that matter being the consideration of financial discussions with the University of Alaska.
Is there any public comment? Any objections? Seeing none, we are moving to executive session.